The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Large black coffee.
Do you mean a venti?
No, I mean a large.
Venti is large.
No, venti is 20. Large is large. In fact, tall is large, and grande is Spanish for large. Venti's the only one that doesn't mean large. It's also the only one that's Italian. Congratulations, you're stupid in three languages.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
And why do you bow for that guy?
Because he's the king, and he rules the entire realm.
Oh, my bad. Is that what he is or isn't whacking it to The Sims?
Paul Perillo.
You know what I used to eat for breakfast? Cocaine. You know what I used to eat for lunch? Cocaine.
What'd you have for dinner? Was it cocaine?
And Andy. And Andy?
The sun is shining, but you have lost the ability to take any joy in life.
Andy Hart.
You're just a miserable dick now. You're mean to everybody.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
I call myself the Booby Watch. Even got my own comic book. Adventures of the Booby Watch.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
It's as fierce and horrible. Anything is possible.
Sounds gay.
If by gay you mean the old English definition of fun, enjoyable, and carefree, then yes, it's extremely gay.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang is all here. Andy's back from the Summer of Andy.
This is which, in parentheses, in email says, Seinfeld reference.
This is the Summer of Andy.
Because he's used that already.
And Eric is back from his fishing trip with Josh Boyer.
And Andy already has a bunch of punchlines ready to go. He's been preparing for the last day. So.
Okay. So we'll talk to Eric about how that went.
Weather hotties on Channel 7.
Paul's here.
Oh, she's no necking.
Paul's
no,
here.
Still close. No, she isn't.
Kevin's in the booth.
Oh, you're an idiot.
She's got a funny mouth.
So she's the one that caught the seam route from Brady the other night.
Within one minute, we're already talking, yards up the side, we're already talking about things people cannot
that's
see.
Okay. So she's better than Carl Lewis.
A lot better.
You know, straighten
and they call me
handy.
Unprofessional.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
You know, compared to you, I'm a 50-year radio veteran.
Oh, yeah.
You're right.
You're a regular Marconi Award winner.
That's right. You got it. All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. So, first off, we got to congratulate the Bruins on
of
that
course.
Game last night. I mean, they...
The last... They, you talked about it probably on...
You know, right now, they...
It might have come up.
Might have come up the
they
other
own
day.
The Canucks right now. You know, that... What a difference between games one and two. I mean, they now own them.
But they could have won those,
but
too.
If they won one of them.
Could have winning to dominating,
yeah,
they should win the series.
So they should, but, you know, we'll see. But, I mean, what a
Hector
turnaround.
Longo dying in goal for the Canucks.
Yeah.
There's a rule about that.
So they now own the Canucks. I guess, you know, if you're from Vancouver, you got to be shaking in your boots. Your team is about a lot of pressure on them Friday night.
They went through this with... who was it in the first series?
Chicago.
Then they went through it with, you know, close to it with, was it San Jose?
The Sharks.
Yeah, I mean, so they've been in this position before.
The only time they were in trouble was Chicago. They had a 3-0 lead,
right.
And then they had to go seven games.
Right.
The other series, they went up 3-1 in each of the other two series. So they were in control of those two, even though the games were close and tight. They never got whacked around like they did in games 3 and 4 by the Bruins.
My favorite part of the game right here. On Channel 7, if you're watching at home.
Oh, for God's sake, Andy. No, really.
I mean, if you're watching at home and you happen to live in the Boston area.
Really.
Yes, Channel 7 in Florida probably will do you no good. I don't even know if you have a Channel 7.
Bogota?
It's getting a little annoying.
Bogota?
It's getting a little annoying.
People love it, Fred.
Kevin, Artie and Chris both say that the volume is very low. They can't hear us.
Ferrer just called me. He said it's fine now.
Okay. It's fine now.
Yeah, I guess it was really low to start for the open.
We don't monitor that. That's not part of.
I didn't touch it.
Don't we have little lights that go up and down?
You got a little thing going today, huh?
What?
Yeah, you got a little bit of an edge today.
You're a little on edge.
Yeah, here's what I'm worried about.
All right, what are you worried about?
Organizational. We've had a kind of a not a letdown, but you know, time off because of the lockout. You know, the news hasn't been fast. And I'm worried that all of a sudden this lockout's going to be done and everyone's going to be in lockout mode.
And I think we need to
when
step
it up. When
you say
everybody, are you talking about the three people in this
everybody,
room?
Everybody in the whole organization.
Well, I because
you have nothing to worry about with us.
Including you guys.
No, I think you do. And I share a little of your concern.
Oh, thanks, Paul.
I share a little of your concern because it's going to be ridiculously fast and furious when
right.
and if this ever gets settled.
Right.
I'm just hoping it's, you know.
You know what? You know what it's
tomorrow.
Like? You know what it's like? It's like you're on a championship team and you're not a starter. And but, you know, every day you
well,
warm
you
up.
Know about that.
Every day you warm up and, you know, you never get to play. But then that one
it's
day
it's like you're a kicker.
But then that one day the quarterback goes down and you have to be ready.
And Paul broke his collarbone.
That has to
they got killed.
Right. That has to be
that's true.
That has to be the mindset in this building that at any moment you could be in there in the thick of
doesn't mean
of,
I wasn't
of the
ready.
Battle. So
you weren't.
You know, I'm just a little worried. A little complacency.
All you have to worry about is PFW, and we're going to be fine, Fred.
Well, that's why I'm really worried. You know, I got people I got to hire. I got open slots I got to fill.
We haven't even eaten lunch, and you're already burping.
Yeah.
You all right over there?
Well, I had a I'm drinking a
soda.
Yeah.
Pepsi.
A pop.
So, you know, just a little. Bruins, we were talking about. I think.
Bruins are always open, listeners.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Feel free.
I think that what an amazing turnabout. And, you know, one thing I did want to mention, people are calling Marchand cheap for going low when that guy went at him. I always thought, what are you supposed to do? Just stand
exactly.
there and take the hit?
I didn't understand the announcer's.
I didn't understand it.
Yeah.
I didn't understand the announcer's description of that. That was they called it a cheap play. And I'm not, listen, you guys know, I'm not over-the-top homer.
Right.
I don't understand why you're compelled to allow the guy to get stapled into the glass.
Right.
So why should I just sit here and say, well, the guy's coming at me.
Right.
I mean, if he just sidestepped one way or the other, that would be okay. But ducking is not okay.
Right.
I don't get that.
I don't get it either. You know, it's like this unwritten rule in hockey where you can't avoid a hit.
It's not like he low bridged him and he potentially was going to go neck or head first into the boards. He ducked to get out of the way.
You know, like in basketball, when a guy goes up in the air, you can't undercut him. That's an unwritten rule.
You still see that,
no,
though.
That's a written rule. That's a foul.
Well, it's a foul, but, you know, but I mean, it's
but you see that a lot.
Yeah,
flagrant.
But that's like, you know, really, really bad. As where fouls go, that's dirty foul.
Right.
That's a dirty foul. But I never heard about ducking when someone
I didn't understand it either.
I don't see the difference between that and a good, solid body check, you know, by a defenseman to an on-rushing guy. I mean, the guy's coming at you. He's not expecting you to go low on him in that situation. Happened to Lucic, I believe, in the first game.
Yeah.
When Hanjus went low and buried him with a low check. It was a good, solid low check.
Yeah.
Now, Hanjus ended up getting hurt on that play. He hasn't played since. Mm. But I didn't think there was anything cheap about it.
No.
He went low and he made a low hit.
I mean, so many times in football, or it used to be anyway, a quarterback would have that sixth sense and he'd feel the guy coming and he'd duck and the guy would go over him. Or
Brady still kind of does that sometimes.
I looked at the same. Marchand did the same thing. He saw, you know, the corner of his eye went low and the guy went over him.
I think he did it in the preseason this year against the Rams.
There was a guy
that was going to blindside him and he just ducked at the
I thought it was a great play because I've always thought, oh, you know, that's something I would do.
Yeah, I was surprised because then the guy from Vancouver, the other guy, dropped his gloves and immediately started going at him.
Right.
I'm thinking, what's he so pissed about?
Yeah. Right.
Marchand got the hat trick on that. He got the holding penalty in the corner, the tripping penalty for ducking, and then the roughing penalty for fighting after it.
And the only legitimate one, well, I mean, other than the fighting one, but was the first one.
Yeah, the first one was definitely a legit hold. But it is amazing how – and I thought Vancouver controlled the first two games. Even though they were close games and the Bruins were in them, I thought Vancouver was the better team for most of the night in both games, and they deserved to win both games. Nothing like the way the Bruins have controlled the last two games, night and day domination for the Bruins. And Andy's right. They could have won one of those games and been in complete and total control right now.
They should be up 3-1.
They should be up 3-1. Vancouver can't say that. Vancouver shouldn't be up 3-1.
No.
Vancouver's right now.
No, they're in their best-case scenario right
in
now.
In retrospect, they're lucky to be 2-2.
Yep.
I agree. So that's on the table. The other thing I want to talk about is there's all these lists going on right now, you know, people passing the time and creating content while there isn't any news. And one of them has to do with
– preposterous lists.
Missed tackles.
Yeah. Ridiculous. That's the worst one.
Well, hold on.
Stupid.
Hold on.
I missed one day.
According to...
they're outside of football because they're stupid.
Outside of football, on the Patriots, James Sanders leads the way with the most missed tackles, well, followed by Patrick Chung.
Well, but you missed the other news. The biggest news,
that's
Fred.
That's utterly ridiculous. Wait a minute. That's two. I mean, it'd be one thing if it were just Sanders, and that's a little PFW binky. Now you're saying Chung misses a lot of tackles? Utterly ridiculous.
But by a lot, it was like James Sanders had seven.
Right.
It was seven then five for Chung,
and then four
then Merriweather.
Had four.
Merriweather, Guyton,
Merriweather
Kyle
has
Arrington.
Missed four tackles in a game before.
Okay, well, here's what
that's
I'm
absurd.
Proposing. Instead of us saying it's absurd, let's prove it.
Can't.
Why?
It's totally subjective.
Well, either he missed a tackle or he didn't. No.
But I can't tell that guy that he's wrong for the play right. that he thinks the guy missed
we don't know what he's using for criteria for a tackle.
Well, I assume he's watching the film and saying, oh, that was
they
a missed
do.
Tackle.
And they admit that they're
yeah, but what's
probably...
his criteria for it? Because well, to us, a missed tackle could be different than his definition.
These are the same guys that
well,
think that Brady was
come
the
up with
30th,
a definition.
Right? Same
no,
site? No,
no,
no, not different
site. Okay. That was Pro Football Focus.
Come up with
what was this?
Football Outsiders, I think.
Come up with a criteria and prove him wrong.
I mean, all you have to do is watch a game and see that he misses
wrong.
A million tackles. He didn't miss four tackles all season. That's absurd.
I find it equally absurd that Gerard Mayo only missed one tackle all year. He's a middle linebacker. I'm sorry, you missed more than that.
I can't
He's
prove
great.
Him wrong,
he had 100 billion tackles, but he missed more than one tackle this year, right?
And the other thing they
Mayo?
Said was
yeah.
that the Patriots were the best at missed tackles. In other words, they had the fewest
surest
missed
tackling.
Tackles, the surest tackling team in the league.
I think
right?
I don't know about the rest of the league. I think the Patriots as a team are generally pretty good at that. I'm surprised that Arrington's on that list because I think he's a very good tackler in the open field.
Well,
Kyle
everybody's
Arrington.
Missed a tackle.
Oh, Kyle Arrington, yeah.
I'm surprised that he's up on that list, too.
If the top guy has only missed seven tackles all year, then everybody's going to be on that list because they've all missed tackles.
Like, for example, what do they
but
count?
But the numbers are just so
remember,
low.
Remember the touchdown
ridiculous.
That...
But I'd like a counter-argument.
You can't make one. I can't tell that guy he's wrong. It's a totally subjective
thing. I said a count will come up with your subjective list.
Well, we'll have to watch every game
or
chart them. So you
want me to sit back and watch 17 games?
Sure.
Okay.
You can skip through the commercials.
All right. We'll skip through the community luncheon today, too, to do that. How's that sound?
And where are we getting the tape?
I mean, they did it, didn't they?
That's all they do.
What are you guys doing?
We got to cover the team.
Radio show,
well,
a community luncheon.
My point is right now,
writing a paper.
There's no team right now to cover.
Okay, so
we're still putting a paper
out
this
week. We're not doing a radio show.
We're
not doing a paper.
We didn't interview every assistant coach. We didn't do Ask PFW this week.
Still going through all
those transcriptions. We haven't done blog entries.
Yeah. I think that's why these people are coming up with these lists.
I have 3.5 hours of transcriptions on my recorder.
No, it's because it's what they do for all sports. These guys have come out of nowhere.
Whether it's the NFL Network or whoever's doing it, they're coming up with these.
Is your whole point to this that your boy Merriweather is better and you think you won the argument? Is that why you want us to do this?
No, but
I'm asking for an example. The touchdown that the Jets scored that basically put the game away. Right after we scored to make it 14-11, they came down and scored. Mm-hmm. I think it was Braylon Edwards.
It was that long catch to Cotchery, right?
Yeah, but I'm talking about the touchdown itself to Braylon Edwards where he dragged McCourty and Merriweather into the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a missed tackle?
Should be. You could have tackled him for not a touchdown.
Exactly.
So I would say it
I
is.
I think Merriweather missed him twice on that play, to be honest with you.
So if that's the case, you're telling me there's only two other tackles he missed all year? Baloney.
Well, we're not counting playoff.
That's fine.
Baloney.
So that's what I'm saying. You make the counter-argument. It sounds like you guys have evidence that proves
our
article.
We watched our own two eyes.
Yeah, but it's anecdotal evidence. I'm not going to go back and watch.
We didn't chart it.
17 games.
But it doesn't matter whether we charted. Our chart would be different than his chart.
Right.
But that's
so it's not a fact. It's an opinion.
But if it's a valid chart.
How about if I do this?
If it's based on.
Like I would consider my Nantucket sleigh rides missed tackles.
Right.
When you can bring a guy down for a 3-yard gain and he gains 8. You missed the
That's
tackle.
A missed tackle. Well,
you ended up bringing him down, and the league stats may show you had a tackle. Right. I consider that a missed tackle. You cost my team 5 yards.
That's a great thing, and I'll give you another example. We do inside the quarterback game every game.
Mm-hmm.
We do drops, and you know some of that can be subjective.
Oh, right. It's very
Wes Welker, according to Elias, led the NFL with 11 drops. I'm sorry, other
subjective.
People had more than 11 drops.
But
he may have had more than 11 drops.
But just because it's subjective doesn't mean we don't do the list. We do the list, and we try to be consistent with it.
No, but we do it as we go. We don't go back and watch all 17 games after the fact and do it.
Well, now's the time to do it.
Do you want to do that now?
I want
to. Because if you want us to become stat-driven and ignore interviews and all that, that's a different way of covering things. That's why these websites pop up.
I think now is a good time to do research-type articles.
Okay.
Now is a good time to do it.
We need the tape.
Well, you got
to
get us 17.
That's the first
tapes.
Thing we need is all 17 games.
We can do that.
16, but
you know, and it doesn't have to be always countering someone else's list, but come up with our own stuff. You know,
okay.
I have a feeling we're not going to have a whole lot of time left to do this either.
We may not. And you hope we may not. And it doesn't always have to be like proving how bad we are either. It could be stuff like, well, I mean, that would be.
How about
you know,
we do this?
I know you guys, that would be your inclination.
Well, you tell
just
us
so you know,
what you want us to do.
Tackles are bad.
Yes, they are. That's why I'm saying it doesn't always
and
have to
be.
So you don't want us to do that. What do you want us to do?
But somebody else, another thing I read recently was, and you know, you can argue with how they came to the conclusion, but they said how Ben Jarvis Green Ellis was probably underrated.
Oh, and that was the dumbest thing I've ever read
again,
in my life.
Again, okay, here we go. So you disagree with it.
No, I don't necessarily disagree with it. I think it was a waste of time. Their whole point was, had you done that against an average defense, he would have gained 46 more yards on the season. Whoop-de-freaking-do! I don't care. To go from 1050-something to 1106 or whatever it was, to me, you just wasted your time.
To say a guy's overrated means he missed, you know.
And I also don't buy into
like
all those stats all the time. I think, you know, I'm a big believer in general in the butterfly effect.
Right.
You can't just say it's
that's right.
To me it's not a statistical
you're
game.
Right. Yep.
It's a game that changes very much. This is an argument that these two got into with a member of this organization.
Oh.
And then another member of this organization very much backed us. We won't bring any names specifically into this,
right.
But the game of football is not played on an Excel spreadsheet.
By the way,
and one of those has way
it's
more credibility than the
team
other.
Team game, and changing one aspect of that changes everything.
Right.
So your little spreadsheets that spit out, oh, he would have had 50 more yards had you done this,
what do you want
are
us,
stupid, downright stupid.
What do you want us to monitor on games to prove whether or not Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is overrated or not, underrated or not?
Well, that I don't know. I don't know. But
by the way, to do that, we then have to chart every game that takes place in the NFL if we're going to compare him overrated to underrated.
I don't know how you can chart someone's underrated. I mean, isn't that totally someone's opinion?
Well, their
opinion?
Whole thing is he went against tough defenses. Had you changed that to it's one of those it's a geek thing. Average defense had he done
it's
this,
stupid. That's what it is.
He literally would have added like 40 something yards and
it's a waste of time.
I guess they think that's valuable. I don't. I think it's stupid. I think it's a waste of time. Eric, well said. An utter waste of time.
No, you're right.
I mean, think if you want lists, opinion lists are far better. Pete Prisco's list today that Brandon Merriweather is the most overrated Patriot and Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is the most underrated, to me, is phenomenal. It's a great argument. It's a great debate. He watches games. You watch games if you want to dispute him.
And you
can
totally disagree with the
but
findings.
To bring numbers.
Right.
But
that's opinion-based. I like that.
It's not a
right.
geek fest.
That's subjective. That's what I'm saying.
But I think there is something to say about well-researched articles. I mean, you know, based
see, but
on
you
stats.
But you think putting mm-hmm. time in and coming up with numbers means it's well researched. I think you can find numbers to back up any argument you want to make. Doesn't make it right.
And if your criteria is flawed,
so
that makes the entire
right.
process
right. That's
flawed.
Why you have to spell out your criteria so that people can choose. Well, I don't agree
but
with
their
the
criteria
the premise.
Is what they yeah. see as a missed tackle and what they don't.
Right, but in your criteria, you can explain, hey, when a guy gets dragged 5 yards, you know, we're gonna count that against him some way. You know, so in my rating, maybe he gets a half a point loss for not having brought him down at the time of impact. You know, that type of thing.
Not a big fan.
You know,
that's how you end up with Tom Brady as the 35th best player in the National Football League by saying we gave him a -2, -1, +1.
But it was well researched.
Yeah, it was well researched.
Well, should people not do research when writing articles?
No,
they
should
do it
correctly. But don't go.
Okay, I agree. I mean. I would agree. When you research, you should research correctly. I don't think there's any argument against
but
that.
But also, making up your own criteria is not research. That's just making up your own
well, you have to,
numbers, gimmicks, whatever.
When you're trying to prove a point one way or another, you
have
to come up with some type of criteria.
You can do whatever you want. It's like.
But they weren't trying to prove a point. They didn't start out with the premise that Tom Brady's the 33rd best football player in the National Football
League.
No. They had a
they
number
came up
of
with
rating
criteria,
system.
And then they.
And
yeah.
somehow came out with that. And that's fine. And in their geeky little world, okay, you're God. In the real world, Tom Brady had a phenomenal year, and he was the first ever unanimous MVP. I'm not saying that's the be-all, end-all, but anybody who doesn't think Tom Brady was among the best football players in the NFL last year, I'm sorry. I have no further discussion yeah. with you. I'm done.
Give you another example. The year before this year, they were 14-2, but the year before, we all agreed the defense was lacking, mm-hmm. yet they were like number 5 in points allowed. Well, we know that stat belied the fact that you know, it was the offense probably that kind of helped the defense. Well, I think that you can do research and find facts to back up that supposition.
Sure.
You know?
I don't think you need to make up your own stats. I think there's
well,
plenty of stats out there that
are. I never said make them up.
Been around a long time and people.
But I'm saying, you know, everybody who wants to make the argument that the Patriots' defense was good points to that. Well, it's all about giving up points, and they were number five in the league in points allowed. Okay, well, you can't argue with that. That's true. They were number five, but maybe there's other reasons besides the defense being good for that, and I think that research, only research, can help you prove that point, you know, because – you know, the main thing is on their side. So now you have to come up with other reasons why they could be fifth on that list other than having a good defense.
But what's wrong with coming up with, you know, a good, solid opinion piece saying that I actually think the offense continuously put the defense in positive situations. They often grabbed leads and made the other team play from behind. Why do you have to go and do stat-based things?
Well, even if you're going to –
I'm not a big fan of the sabermetrics, as you guys know, in all sports.
Right.
I call them sabermetrics even though that's a baseball-specific term,
right.
You know, the Society
S-A-D-R-E,
of Baseball or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that there is – I like to do the evaluations more – just on the eyeball test, on just anecdotal.
No, but
I think you can watch and see.
But I think even in that example that you just gave, well, why can't you just say that, you know, you think that the offense often put them in? Well, even that, you know, begs coming up with those examples. You know, in week four, for example, the Patriots only gave up 10 points in the game, but. And then come up with what the offense did. You know, I think you still
That's very easy. I just say that the offense scored the first three times they had the ball, and the other team got one-dimensional, couldn't play to its strength. I don't need to say they only ran the ball X amount of times from that point on, and they threw for this amount of times, and, you know, whatever else happened. I don't have to back it up with numbers.
You would still need to know that, you know, the offense scored the first three times. You know, you have to back – in other words, you have to back up your –
with facts, not stats.
Well, I consider them the same thing.
I don't.
You know?
Well, a missed tackle is not a fact. It's a stat.
That's my point.
Right.
Just like tackles are a stat. It's why every week we get the official game book stats, and then we get the coaches' stats, and they're different.
And they're vastly different.
And if
different.
I get Football Outsiders, they'd be different, and Pro Football Focus would be different, and Andy Hart's would be different, and Fred Kirsch's would be different.
It's like the people,
it's not
Freddy.
A stat. It's unofficial.
And
it's not a fact.
And we're
but
we
you
have
think. No, I know for a fact not official.
Well played. Yeah. We're going to work on some things, and we talked to you, Andy and I. Some of them are pass rush based. We're trying to work on a little bit, and I'm going to work on something a little bit for quarterbacks, older quarterbacks. We're going to hopefully get some inroads made on this during the course of the summer and have those in some upcoming issues. We'll talk about them on the show, too. So I think those are going to be pieces that are more based, Freddie, the way you're talking about. We're going to have to get some numbers, some data to drive the story a little bit. But I'll give you a perfect example of how I don't think they're facts. Numbers, to me, aren't always facts. They don't always tell the story. They're not always factual, even though they're strict data. I think if you're a Bill Belichick hater, like Ron Borges has been purported to be over the many, many years, and you wanted to sit there and make a big, strong, statistical-based argument that Bill Belichick is not a great head coach and is overrated as a head coach, you could trot out number after number, the team's winning percentage, the team's offensive point totals, the team's defensive point totals, and yardage allowed, all stats that are facts, with and without Tom Brady as his quarterback. And you'd have as many games played that they did nothing as they are. I mean, they've made the playoff one time in eight seasons without Tom Brady as his quarterback.
Right. And people do that.
That's fact, not opinion.
Yep.
But I think it's utterly laughable to suggest that if Tom Brady weren't the Patriots quarterback over the last decade, that Bill Belichick would not have any of the success that he's had. Now, would they have won three Super Bowls? Maybe not. Probably not without Brady. But to suggest that he would be nothing,
okay,
so which I think someone statistically based could certainly do.
So let me ask you a question then, and I think that's a great example. Someone does trot that out, and I've heard that before. The detractors have said that. How do you counter that? You know, because you can't prove what he would have done without Brady. So how do you counter that fact-based?
You can't.
There has to be a way. In other words, how do I use facts to counter
how
that?
How do I factually back up something that's a hypothetical? I can't.
Yeah. But you just said it's a fact. Those numbers aren't aren't untrue.
They're not.
You know, his record and results,
I mean, five,
without Tom
five
Brady.
5 years in Cleveland, he won one playoff game.
Right.
1 year in New England, 2 years in New England without Brady as quarterback, they didn't make the playoffs.
Right.
I mean, I can't say that he would have made the playoffs all those years if he didn't have Brady the years that he did have him.
So do you just give up against those people? How do you counter
No,
that?
I would argue that I've seen the guy coach. I think he's brilliant. I've seen him mix and match with a lot of times, in my opinion, lesser talent. I've seen him.
So
I
you
think,
bring
play
up a, those examples.
But not
but
statistical.
But there's nothing statistical
no, but,
you
but
can
you
bring
can
up.
Say, like in a year where they had this guy, this guy, this guy.
To me, it's all anecdotal. I can only say it. I can only say my opinion.
For instance,
I can't tell you that I'm right.
One of the years he didn't make the playoffs without Tom Brady, 2008, may have been perhaps his best coaching job or one of his best coaching jobs, because he had a quarterback who hadn't started since high school. He had a defense that wasn't that great. He made the most of what he had, and he won 11 games and probably should have made the playoffs. But that's anecdotal. That's just observational. There's nothing statistical you can use to counter
and
that.
To me, that's what football is. It's why football history is charted on NFL films, and baseball history is charted on paper.
On a book.
Babe Ruth, Henry Aaron, that's the difference. That's why baseball is a statistical sport, because the statistics match up. Oh, there's always one pitcher and one batter going head-to-head.
Baseball is an individual sport you play on a team. It's made up of individual
whereas
plays.
Whereas football is only team.
Right.
We don't know what Jerry Rice would have been without Joe Montana, or Joe Montana without Jerry Rice. Thousands of Bill Belichick without Lawrence Taylor without, it's a million of them. Cause that's what football is. It's the ultimate team sport. Yeah. And it's the ultimate, you watch it, you see it, and you see the story unfold. And I really believe that's why NFL films is great. And that's why you have these documentaries with some writer who was there through all of it giving his opinion, because he saw the whole summation of the picture, not
he averaged 3.2 yards per carry that year.
I agree with that. I think that's what makes football unique,
right?
From even, you know, like basketball is a team sport, but an individual can take over a game,
right? Because without Michael Jordan, the Bulls don't win six championships back in the 90s.
I think you're absolutely right, and the reason for that, I think, is the fewer people you have on the floor, the more apt that one utterly superior player is able to impact the game. You know, the Michael Jordan of the NFL wouldn't have the same impact as, you know, we're just winning, you know, 6 out of 8 titles.
Right.
You know, 6 in a row for him, because really he didn't play in one of the years that they didn't win.
Right. So I think it's an interesting discussion.
It is. You know? It is. But I think that that's part of the beauty. And it's funny you brought up that's why NFL Films history the NFL history is on NFL Films.
Because you have to see it.
I watched a lot of stuff yesterday, just sitting in the house with TJ, and they have some good stuff. NFL Films they had NFL greatest games. They had the 1974 playoff game between Oakland and Miami. You know, that catch that Clarence Davis makes in the end zone with 9th. Just so many things, little things that they pick up and talk about. Later, they had something with the Cowboys from 1980. It was the year that Danny White took over for Roger Staubach. Right? That was a huge thing. Like, fans just didn't really like him because they loved Roger so much. Well, did you know that Danny White threw for more touchdowns? Set the franchise record for touchdown passes that year, his first year, in place of Staubach. Now, statistically, I could tell you that Danny White's better than Roger Staubach. He wasn't. But I could tell you, I could make a fact, you know, stat-based argument that Danny White was better. He threw for more touchdowns, less interceptions, more yards, all this stuff, but he wasn't Roger Staubach.
Right. Besides, you know, baseball in slow motion wouldn't work if there were MLB films, you know? The game just doesn't lend itself to slow
Actually,
motion.
Actually, the baseball Major League Baseball films just goes
the same thing.
Right. But the Major League version of those films, it's actually fast.
Right.
Babe Ruth. Babe old-time stuff, right, yeah. I love those old-time
Kamani films. Kamani asked that Andy fully swallows his food before he starts talking. He sounds disgusting.
Maybe Kamani should fully swallow before he writes an email.
Uh-oh. Wow. Uh-oh. Angry Eric. All right.
Wow.
So that's a good way to start off the show.
Eric defending his boy.
Yep.
No. Oh, Andy?
Now, Eric.
Andy's my boy.
Now, Eric. Wait a minute.
You're all a team.
Now, Eric, you had an interesting day on Tuesday.
Yes. Andy, are you ready now? Let Andy swallow first.
You went fishing, and it turns out it wasn't on the ocean. It was on Lake Cochituate.
Lake Cochituate in
how do you spell Birmingham?
C O C H
Ituate.
And how do you pronounce it?
Kachituate.
Kachituate. Is that an Indian name?
Yes.
And did they mispronounce it? You had to correct them?
Nothing gets by Andy.
So tell us about your day. You went out on
a bass boat.
A Merc 220?
Five. I don't know what. Well, there was a 225 motor because I saw that. I was following them to
the lake. Because
the
5-pound bass fish, they can swim fast. Got to be able to catch them.
We were going, at one point, we were going like probably 50 or 60.
Right, way faster than any.
And that thing tops out at like 70 or 80.
Now, you were all nude? Was this nude fishing that you guys
No,
did?
Rob Gronkowski wasn't with us.
Oh, okay.
No. You heard about that story, right, Fred?
I heard somebody talking about
wrestling.
It on a radio show. I don't know if it's true or not.
I don't know.
Well,
either.
He's also celebrating a national holiday today because it's 6-9.
It's 6-9. Andy's favorite.
The date, 6-9. Oh, and he's infatuated with 6-9.
Right. The yin and the yang. That's what he's infatuated with.
The national holiday of sixth graders.
And ninth graders.
Right.
And tight ends and PFW writers.
Kevin's asleep at the switch over there today.
So you went fishing.
Yeah, we went fishing as part of a story.
What time did you start?
We started, well, we got here, we met here at 6:30 in the morning and fought some rush hour traffic to get to Natick, but got there at about 8 o'clock, shoved off, and stayed till about 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
That long?
Yeah, it was a full 8 hours.
You had lunch
in
the hot
sun. Snacks. We didn't really eat. I mean, we were drinking water constantly, had some energy bars and some fruit and PB&J and stuff. Nothing major because it was hot that day. Right. I mean, it was hot and sunny.
So this is hardcore bass fishing.
This is bass fishing. Josh Boyer, who's the, I guess, the cornerbacks coach, defensive backs,
right,
focusing on cornerbacks. But it was him and his friend, Joel, who is a former professional bass fisherman, owns this 20-by-8-foot bass boat, so we were out on that. They had offered to go deep sea fishing if there was going to be a big camera crew and a lot of other people going, because Joel knows a lot of commercial charter boat
people.
So we thought we were maybe going to go deep sea fishing, but it turned out we went on the lake, which was fine. It was a good day. I'd never been fishing before.
At all?
Really? At all. Well, because I don't like fish, so I have no interest in going fishing.
Release.
I know, but I just...
For the sport of it.
I don't like fish. So
never even like just throwing a line in, and you've never
with
done
like
that?
A stick and a piece of rope and worm at the end of it?
I don't think you're Huckleberry Finn, but
we just turned the clock back 250 years.
Yeah, you're not Huck Finn, but I mean, you know, like from a jetty or in a pond.
No interest.
On a vacation.
I never had any interest.
So just, like, you're 6 years old and your dad says, oh, let's do this. I have no interest.
He never said, because he doesn't have any interest in it either.
He has no interest in fishing.
No. He eats fish, but he's not a fisherman.
He's never fished. So
I don't think he has.
This is a family bloodline of people who have never fished.
Why is that so abhorrent to you?
It's not abhorrent. But it is unusual.
Fred, because it's not abhorrent.
Do you know for sure your dad hasn't fished?
I don't know for sure.
I bet he's fished.
I've never asked him.
Get him on the horn. Send him a text.
My father ever has.
I can't believe in your 50 years, Eric, that you've never...
If I had to bet, I would say
Well, first of all, I don't
has,
have 50 years,
never
Fred.
In my lifetime.
You've never fished a day in your life.
Why is that so unbelievable?
Because as a kid, most kids just do it.
I don't know that most kids just go out fishing.
Well, Fred, you know what I was doing as a kid? It wasn't fishing.
He was fishing
for
hoes.
You really just do. Somebody, a friend, somebody older.
Right, exactly.
Kinda...
But at one point in your life, you fish.
Right.
You know?
You also have to have a desire to do it. I never had a desire to go fishing.
As a kid, so like Andy said, somebody says, hey, let's go fishing.
Yeah, we went on a field
nobody
trip.
Ever
it's
said,
kind of a
let's
cliche
go fishing.
For a reason, because it's one of those things you just do. Even if you don't really want to, you just tend to do, because that's what you do with a kid.
Right.
Never did the field trip, like deep sea fishing, like whale watch type thing?
Oh, I've been on whale watches, but that's not fishing.
Well, we turned out, we did like...
That'd be tough to rope in a sperm whale or...
No, we did.
Why did you pick sperm there, Eric?
I did it on purpose. I did it on purpose.
I don't think you did.
Poor Eric.
I looked straight at Andy and said
listen,
it on purpose.
We know where your mind is. There's a lot of examples on the show where it's poor Eric. That wasn't one of them.
What was I going to use? Humpback whale?
Yes. You should have humping on your mind, not sperm. You clearly have sperm on your mind.
Not if you're humping from the back.
What? I like humping from the back. just in the future when
you haven't even used any of your jokes yet. I'm trying to set you
no
up.
No one has set me up yet. Somebody's supposed to ask
when
him if he
doing
caught
your,
anything.
Your nonsense on your Twitter stuff with your little friends. I don't know who they are.
Keep Eric and I out of it.
I don't know what that means.
In the future.
What happened?
What is this crap?
What happened? What are you talking about?
I got you and your boys talking about Meriwether or
who
something.
Who are my boys?
I don't know. I don't know who these people
are. I don't
are.
Know what you're talking about, Paul.
I don't know. You're tweeting
check
bad
your
stuff
mentions.
About
your Twitter mentions.
Your 600 followers.
My what?
Your 600 followers.
Oh, it's like 700
Is
now.
It really?
Which I didn't think was that many until Brian Hoyer got all excited because he hit 1,000. You're an NFL quarterback.
You're kidding me? I
you're
have
Tom
like 500.
Brady's backup. You should have a lot more than that, just naturally.
I don't
Which,
even
by the way,
I have like
we
500.
Should have a lot more than that. Right? I mean, we have like 90,000 listeners to this show.
You know what? I think we've been forgetting to put on the blog. Whenever we put a post up, we're supposed to put that little...
I certainly have been forgetting. I want it to be automatic.
All right, we can't do that, according to Chris.
But I'm going
to
put a call out. At Jumbo Hart, at PFW Eric, at PFW Paul. Follow us on Twitter, and even at MeDNA. I don't know what it means either. Don't worry about it.
Or Medna.
So, Medna?
So did anyone...
Why is the DNA capitalized?
Right, 419 is lowercase, so you say
MeDNA.
DNA, not Medna.
So did anyone...
I've only
anyone?
Tweeted 92 times, and I have 419 followers. That's
Hold
a good ratio.
And only like seven were about
think,
football.
I don't think Andy heard the question.
I said, did anyone catch anything?
Syphilis?
There you go.
Eric caught syphilis.
It's not that funny.
It was funny the first five times I used it. I'm going to be honest.
Now, that was funny.
No. You laughed at it
now,
the first
syphilis,
five times you used it.
Syphilis funnier than AIDS,
where
right?
would he have caught
AIDS
that?
AIDS not really that funny.
Where
on the boat.
Syphilis. Barrel of laughs. Syphilis.
Herpes? Yeah. Paul has herpes. He gets it on his chin every once in a while or whatever.
What is that? You gave me a stat sore. Yesterday about
90% of the population has herpes.
Has herpes.
Of some form, Paul's form or the genital form.
Now, is this the same people that came up with the Brandon Meriwether stats, or is this
Can you
actually
do me a
something
favor?
Legitimate?
No, these were real doctors, I think.
What you're doing right now is exactly what I just told you about that I don't want you to do anymore.
What am
Stop
I doing?
Throwing me into your nonsense.
That's what this show is.
So, yeah, Fred, we went bass fishing, and Joel and Josh caught probably 10 to 12 fish throughout the day.
Well, I don't remember giving permission for a party, Joel. Go ahead.
Wow.
I don't know what he's talking about.
I'm sure you don't, because Risky Business came out in the 80s, so there's no way you saw
Cruise
that.
Tom Cruise sliding across
Tom Cruise,
the floor?
Yes.
I've seen portions of it.
His name was Joel.
That's a great movie.
His mother says, I don't remember giving permission for a party, Joel.
Classic,
a party?
Classic teen movie. Anyway.
And I'm sure that Indy hasn't seen it.
Back to the catch of the day.
So, the story that I'm going to write about was... Josh ends up getting obsessed with this one particular fish for a variety of reasons. Which
the white whale.
Go about. Yeah, it was essentially that was his white whale. And I'm going to go into detail in the story that will be in next week's PFW. But he ended up wrestling on and off with this fish for 3.5 hours.
He lost his leg.
And that was basically the afternoon. That took up the entire afternoon.
Did you try fishing? It was,
they offered
what's the
at the end of the day, and I declined.
You prefer to watch other men play with their poles?
So wait a minute.
Another one of Andy's.
If no one else is going to set me up, I'm going to set myself up.
They offered, hey, you want to do cast a few?
At the very end, and I said no. That's
why?
Okay.
He said, you want my pole for a minute?
Why not try it? That's kind of rude.
Because no, it wasn't rude.
Was rude. That
it's
was
like going into somebody who's a baker and he said, oh, you want to try one of my cookies? You say no, I don't want to.
It's not like they were going to make you eat the fish. You just had to catch it.
That's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's not the same thing.
Yeah, he offered you a cast.
Fred just gave it a weird.
You guys can't see this because we're on radio, but Fred just had an aneurysm.
You should have tried it.
It was the end of the day, and they kind of wanted to leave too. And I think they were just being nice to offer
and
ask.
Yeah, but you can just cast. You know, I don't know much about fishing, but they were all set up, Fred. They could see where they were spawning, so the fish was guarding.
They were sight fishing.
I mean, they could see the fish they wanted to catch. It wasn't like they were just waiting for the lure. To get a strike. Mm. So they could have taken you to some spot probably. You could have cast right over, reeled one in. They would have taken it off the hook for you. Everyone would have
really
been happy.
It's really fun. It's quite a thrill when you catch one and it's on the reel.
I had more fun just watching them do it.
I'm shocked that you didn't try it.
How do you know? You didn't try it. You don't know if it would have been more fun.
There is no way you had more fun watching them fish than you would have had
fish. Plus, much like these subjective stats, you didn't try it. So how do you know it was more fun than if you had tried it?
I just didn't want to do it.
I'm with Fred. I'm surprised that you didn't try
things, Eric. I'm very surprised because you're open to traveling the world and.
Oh, I thought you were gonna. Well, he said you need to open yourself up to new
things.
Like
women.
Exactly. Thank you, Andy. My God, okay. I have to set him up now. Love
but, you know,
Christ.
You're open to
I
traveling
like the, new
the
Eric,
world.
And suddenly he's sensitive, and we can't bring him into discussions. But Eric is open right. to, Andy, come on, it's women you got to say here.
You know, you're open to traveling the world and wearing unique underwear, but you won't go fishing.
Wait a minute.
I
what?
Don't understand that.
Wait, I'm not familiar
wait
with
a minute.
This.
I got to start drinking my Pepsi.
What are you talking about?
What kind of underwear does he wear?
What are you talking? Just kidding.
You're just along making stuff up now.
It's a joke.
Have you seen that underwear?
I got
not
it.
A very funny
I got
one.
It. I almost had a spit take.
Have you
then.
Seen the underwear called COXSOCKS? It's a brand of underwear.
No,
I think
haven't.
I can say it. But it's a real brand of underwear. Like they advertise in like you're flipping through Maxim and it says.
Now normally I would say, Andy, if it's a brand of underwear, you can say it, but I'm not going to say that.
It's a sock for your.
Because then Andy will just continuously say it.
You right. you would have
you can say it's brand name.
Oh, and you can also say
trademarked
the P-U-S-S word on real radio.
Yeah, I know. I've heard it a
Don
lot.
Don Cherry said it. Yeah. I thought the Bruins were going to win in Vancouver, and then they showed up like
right.
and all that.
Yes, that
Felger says it all the time. And he doesn't get in trouble.
I don't think it's appropriate.
Well, it may not be appropriate.
It's not
but
for real radio.
It's not against FCC rules, apparently.
Yeah, I think it
should
is,
be.
And I don't think it's appropriate.
Probably is.
It's definitely
like, I should
not
be able to listen to that station with my kids in the car, and I don't want my kids saying, what's a
pussy and all that.
Yeah, that.
Good timing. That was
that
your
was
best
good
ever.
Timing.
It's about freaking time.
That's an inappropriate
all I can
word
say.
For general
yeah,
radio.
Lay off the Facebook and pay attention to the show, all right?
His hands are up in the air.
Usually they're tied.
Was there any talk of football while you're there?
Very little, yeah. Because that is
spend all your time right. talking lockout.
No, that's his escape.
Right.
He likes to completely turn off football and not think about anything. He, you know, he humored me for a few questions in the beginning, and then you know I let him
right.
have his day. And I was actually asking all the questions about fishing because I wanted to know what it is they were doing,
right.
why they were doing
it's
certain
fishing.
Things.
You didn't answer my question. What's the over-under on the amount of metaphors that will be used in this feature?
Fishing metaphors?
Well, just all the metaphors that he's fishing.
Dr.
And
Tom
Gill? That's a metaphor for something.
My question is, what's the lead for Boyer? It was the one that got away.
Well,
period return.
Whatever the lead is, it'll have a hook.
Oh, I see what you're doing. Now, does he think Merriweather can't tackle? Did you ask him that?
Funny, that didn't come up.
Didn't come up, no.
All right.
It was a good time, though. Glad we
speaking
got to do it.
Speaking of the tackle box,
it's going to be a good story.
Brandon Merriweather, he misses a lot of tackles.
Did they only have two poles?
No, they had.
So you could have all fished. It's not like you were taking it out of their
right,
hands
right.
and ruining his day. You could
right.
have.
I went there as an observer to write a story.
Yeah, but
yes, but you're supposed to be an active
see,
participant.
Eric,
that
Eric,
makes
did
the story
you ever,
better.
Did you ever watch the old American Sportsman's with
Kirk
Gowdy? You know, the guy that's doing the show, he fishes with Kirk Gowdy and the whoever the star is.
Charlie Moore would be the modern.
Yeah,
because he liked
it.
Fishing, I would assume.
Well, I don't know, but they're trying.
Who hates fishing?
I didn't
you're
say
on a
I
pond,
hated it, but I just
and
didn't
someone's offering
do
you a
you don't
pole.
Even know because you've never tried it.
Hate's a strong word,
I'm
but
very
I have no
upset with
in
you,
it.
Eric.
No, but if you were just if you were
if
with
I
two other men on a boat
asked,
for
yeah.
8 hours and they said, "You want? We got plenty of poles. You want to just cast?"
I can't lie.
What else are you doing? You're sitting in the sun doing nothing on a flat boat.
If I sat there with them and they asked me, "Do you want to try it?"
I'm going to say this again.
Sporkle was not available. Rawdog.com not available, so you couldn't do any of your other pastimes.
Okay, I'm going to say this one more time so that maybe you can understand it.
We could have at least sketched a.
They asked me at the end of the day. At the end of the day when we were preparing to leave.
Oh. All right,
and so I could tell that we all were tired.
They were hoping that you said no.
I was thinking they were hoping I would say no because they didn't fight. It wasn't like, oh, come on, you have to do it. They were like, no, I'm okay, that's all right. And
they
were like,
they just assumed since there was an extra ride, you would just do it. And then the whole day went by, and they're like, man, he didn't. Maybe we should ask him.
He never touched a pole.
They know I wasn't
a
fisherman. They know I've never been on a fishing expedition before. They knew that right away.
Expedition, though.
Yeah, you're not like sword fishing in the deep blue.
Right.
You were in a little lake somewhere.
Catching little 5-pound bass
once. That you could see.
All right, listen.
I'm going to say it one more time.
If he runs, you let
go
of that wire.
The idiots in the room.
Bring KSP along.
Well, they had no interest, apparently.
It'd be hilarious.
They're going to Wisconsin.
First of all.
They wussed out.
When we're dealing with Patriots assistant coaches. It's
exactly. I agree.
You know what I mean? No, seriously. When we're dealing with coaches, we
you
sometimes
didn't say anything.
We sometimes
what?
Don't know what we can get away with and what we can't.
There is no rule that says we cannot touch their pole.
10 minutes.
No,
later.
Seriously.
Fishing is fine. You were brought there to go fishing with them.
Yeah. See, and
to observe them, what to observe their fishing.
And you're a reflection on us.
And what did you call him?
Because
we had
a
great time.
Right now, they're
rude?
In the locker room, and he's like, yeah, he was there the whole day. He didn't fish once. Those PFW guys.
The point was to write a story about them fishing.
I know, but there's no reason why you can't do the activity.
Modern day
with
journalism,
them.
You insert yourself in the story. Ask Michael Silver.
Paul doesn't like me to do that for PFW.
No, plus he had the, you said 8 hours, right?
8 hours. It was hot.
I think that was sufficient for the story. You could have taken
doing
a
12-part documentary on PBS.
So you would expect me at some point in the day to say, hey, guys, put down the poll. Show me how to do it. Let me do it.
No, I wasn't going to ask
to do
it. I'm just
saying I'm very surprised that you didn't at some point try it. I share your sort of indifference toward fishing. I don't, and I don't. It's not like soccer where I just don't like soccer. I know a lot of people who love to fish, and I can see it. I get it. It's just not my thing, but I get it.
Have you ever fished before?
Once.
Yeah.
Once. But I'm pretty sure my father, like we were talking about, your father takes you fishing. He didn't take me.
Right.
I caught a catfish, by the way.
Did you?
The one time I went.
By hand?
By hand.
That show we were talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Where they just dive in the muddy river and grab a fish.
That's just disgusting. But if they had asked me if I wanted to try, I would have definitely said yes, even though I would have been hoping that they didn't ask me because I wouldn't have wanted to do it.
Plus, it could have been in your hook. You could have caught the fish he couldn't catch or something all of a sudden.
Now, Paul, why wouldn't you have wanted to try?
I just don't really have any interest in it.
Okay.
But if they had asked me, I would have said yes because I would have thought,
kind of like
Fred, I know you were exaggerating, but I would have thought, well, they took me out here. I should probably, it's their gig. I should probably do it.
Right. Learn something new. I thought you were all about
you
learning
are such
things,
a cosmopolitan guy. Things. You know a little bit about everything. I'm sorry. You know a lot about everything. You should be trying
little bit
different things.
Good.
Eric's thinking, I know everything.
You ignorant slut.
Slut?
That's from Saturday Night Live.
Wow.
All right.
I don't consider you a slut, Paul. Freddie, you have a story
Jane,
to
you
tell.
Ignorant slut.
About your early career
like
here.
He's going.
And why you are tied into the NBA Finals.
Nah, but nah.
Maybe I want to hear the story.
Maybe we'll talk about
it. You know he
that.
Knows Mark Cuban?
Well, I know he's... I don't know.
And Mark Cuban wanted to hire him.
Yeah, my
head
Oh,
I didn't know that.
My head whipped around on that one.
I didn't know that. I knew that you have spoken to Mark Cuban before.
That's when I will tell you, wait, what? No, but maybe we'll talk about that after the break. We also have to talk
about... You're related to Mark Cuban?
The latest in the lockout...
I didn't even know he was Jewish.
And more of your emails and calls here on PFW in Progress.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
What will that be on?
That's it.
Go, Birds! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of
really,
that game?
Really hot.
It was very humid, and the grass got slippery.
Remember but they
that?
Take that field out, you know.
In trays.
But, yes, do, but right. It stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
Yeah, I can't help it.
I got it too.
No,
you got to make it.
You didn't laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts,
Jesus,
will the end zones were soggy.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right, back here in PFW in progress, the gang's all here. Eric's back from fishing. Andy is back temporarily from the summer of Andy. Paul's here.
Oh, that's right.
The summer of Andy is an on and off kind of thing.
Right.
Oh, that means we're in trouble because I don't have that. I have to get some stuff transcribed for you.
Yeah, you do.
Summer of Andy.
What does that mean? Give me the explanation real quick.
I forget.
Summer of George.
Summer of George on Seinfeld.
It was. It was like he was out of work and going to be selfish and take care of himself for the whole summer.
Right.
The summer of George. And it just.
This was supposed to be the summer of George, and it turned out to be something else.
Well, it was very funny.
I doubt it.
Because you've never tried it.
No, I've watched Seinfeld. It's not that funny.
Are we just going to direct it away from Eric now and go to Andy? Because I'm all for it.
Yeah,
of course.
That's fine.
Webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398. I do need some advice from anyone who is a fix-it guy at home and.
That would be Andy then. He's got functional strength.
I need to replace a toilet. And the question is, do I go?
That's definitely the guy you go to then.
Do I go just your normal American standard, spend $100-$200, or is it worth paying a little bit more for a better toilet?
For the one that you can dump a 5-gallon bucket of golf
balls in? No, I don't want the heated seat and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
I would say you go in the middle. I would go
mid-range.
Yeah, I wouldn't get the standard, the cheapest one on the lot, but, a good Kohler.
And they have the ones now with the pee flush and the poo flush,
there's two flushes.
There's a little bit of flush and a lot of flush.
Depending save
on
water.
What you got to do?
I have one that was a little bit more expensive.
How much did you spend on a toilet?
I don't know. Whatever you spend, that money's going to go down the drain. Kevin, not paying attention again.
Playing solitaire.
Oh my God! Lay off the Facebook.
I was forwarding Fred something in the web radio.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So, how much?
$100, right?
I did get one that was...
A couple hundred, right?
Cheap ones are
like 120 something.
Yeah, cheap, but...
So, 200, 250?
Really? Is that all?
They go way up.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw one for $4,000.
Yeah, I have one.
Is it gold?
Oh, yeah, that's ridiculous.
It was, heated seed, it washed you.
It better do more than wash me.
I want the wraparound.
Yes. It had remote control.
For four grand, I get the reach around, not just a little wash in the back.
But like, there's another...
Oh, yeah.
So Toto. Have you ever heard of Toto?
Yes.
Pretty good ones.
I would just get a mid-level. I would Kohler, American Standard.
But mid-level it could be $1,500.
Well, no, I don't mean Kohler, the crazy ones.
I have to Home Depot
and get the mid-level or Lowe's.
I have a Kohler that I got from the Home Depot. It's gone now, but it was like the Home.
Oh, their other thing.
Yeah. And it was a little bit high. It was like $700.
Whew. I wouldn't go that high.
$700.
That
you spend a lot of time in that toilet,
It's. It was supposedly good for kids because, kids sometimes throw stuff in toilets that they're not supposed to. Evidently, it's almost like clog-proof. Well, it's proven to be accurate because the kids have thrown
stuff. I'll be the judge of that.
The kids have thrown stuff in there constantly, and we've been pretty lucky with it.
Is this the one your son broke?
Yeah, that was the top piece, yeah, though, because he picked it up and threw it. I mean, you know, kind of hard to prevent that. And by the way, they replaced it for free, which was also another.
Right.
It's a Kohler.
Right.
Now downstairs, I have the regular run of the mill one, and it's fine. It's not as good as the one upstairs, but it's also, and you know my wife, you know, there was a particular look to the one that we had.
Is it an elongated bowl or the round bowl?
Because
they have elongated bowls and they have traditional round.
I think it's more of an elongated.
Elongated. Well, most people these days are going with the elongated bowl.
Why is that?
This is good
now,
talk.
The other
right
thing,
here. Good talk. Good,
one other
good
thing,
poop
as
talk.
Far as the they have single piece ones where the tank is not a separate piece; it's all one piece.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I find that advantageous because sometimes the seal gets. So
it can't
should
leak.
I get a one? I notice those are more expensive. The one piece.
If you have the money, yeah, because you do avoid the.
That's the one. The
Kohler is a one piece.
Yeah. The upstairs one.
Why do you need a new toilet? You broke it.
It's like probably 30 years old. The one upstairs, and it's leaking and.
I don't know if you know, Fred's put on a little weight.
Needs an upgrade. Actually, I don't use that one as much as the one downstairs. My wife and kid use the one up. They don't want it to go anywhere near where I do my business, so I'm relegated to the downstairs toilet.
It's the way it should be.
You know? So anyway. All right, web radio at patriots.com.
Good bidet, too.
You're right there, Kevin? Now you're on the BlackBerry?
No, we're good.
Okay.
Are we going to talk about actual news?
Yeah, well, I do want
secret owners
meetings. Yeah, I do want to talk
about the secret meetings again we're going to talk about.
It came out yesterday that the secret meetings are continuing, which is a good thing. We shouldn't make fun of it because
I'm just making fun of the term secret, not the meetings.
Right. This is where it's going to happen. It's at these meetings, not in court. And again, the lawyers weren't present.
Except DeMorris.
And this was on Long Island this time?
Long Island, somewhere in Long Island. And Robert Kraft was there.
Guyland?
As a matter of fact, we found out from a source that he was called up specifically to please come to this meeting. So, I think
Kraft
Mara was
and
there.
Mayo go together.
No.
That was Kevin Collins.
We found I made you laugh.
We actually found the line that Andy would not cross.
Oh yeah,
involving
if Mr. Kraft was involved, I back away.
Mara was there. Richardson was there. Who else was there? Was it Rooney?
Goodell. Clark Hunt.
The labor
Clark
committee.
Hunt, right.
Yeah, I think Spanos was there.
Spanos was there.
I
heard that name. And then, of course,
Greg Aiello supposedly
Jeff Saturday, Mike Vrabel,
Kevin Mawai, Dominique Foxworth.
Yep.
And D. Smith.
Yep.
Who everybody spelled his name wrong, Dominique Foxworth, because it's D-O-M-O.
D-O-M-O.
And even Greg Aiello sent out a tweet that had it spelled wrong.
Yeah, the Herald story has him as Dominique Foxworth. Oh.
So
not even close.
This is a good sign. This means that
they must be good friends.
That we're going to have football.
I think.
Hey,
I would.
Paul,
sorry.
I said.
No one can see that.
I said I'm sorry.
Why don't you yell at him?
I'm sorry.
If I had to bet, I would bet that there will be football on time this year. I don't know about the preseason.
Regular football.
Yeah.
Yes. Regular
Peter
season
King
football.
Tweeted the same thing last night.
Is that right?
No real games will be missed.
Okay. So and that's good. That's good.
Certainly.
So, single individual tickets.
So basically, if you're keeping track of what individual writers have been saying, if no games are missed, if no season is played, if the September games are missed, but the rest of the season, Peter King will have been right.
Right. He's written it
all. We're all set.
He's the best. He's always right.
July 15th is the day that individual tickets go on sale for the Patriots. They hold a few thousand for each game, and they go on sale. So July 15th is that day.
Word.
And they made that announcement yesterday, so what the hell? Let's play ball.
Is there a groundswell for getting a deal done here?
I think so. I think
did that replace you so that replaced Soul
we'll
see.
We'll see.
What
I
the hell?
You know, and I know the owners
stick with we'll see.
I know the owners criticize the players for, you know, decertifying and all that, but you know what? If that's what forced these status forced these talks right now, you know, it was a good move by the players because they had to get some type of leverage. So
sounds more like though that the judge forced these talks.
As I've read
From the reports we've seen
that
anyway.
it was partially the judge, but these were requested. These particular ones were requested by
these meaning this week's or last week's?
Last week's were requested by the owners. So it's not all.
Where did you see that?
I forget who wrote it. It was either it wasn't Breer, and it wasn't Michael Silver, but you know, one of the national guys wrote.
The only report I saw was Bob Glauber from
Newsday, yep,
who said that it was Boylan who told the two sides to get together.
Right,
that's the only citation I've seen.
Yeah,
I've seen that.
I've seen that.
Who initiated the talk?
In actuality, and I think it comes down to like how it's worded, but it was requested by the owners. So, anyway, so it's a good thing, and we'll see what happens. But I would be willing to bet that we'll have football
maybe a shortened
as scheduled
camp preseason.
I think they're going to have to do that a little bit. You know?
Yeah,
that's it's all right, right?
Yeah. Cut out two preseason games because that's where they want to go anyway.
I think it would be fantabulous.
But as Mike Florio was saying the other day, and something we said a long time ago.
Where do you think he got it?
The 18-game schedule was basically a bargaining chip.
You said that, I think, on the show about
a year
ago.
He got it from listening to you.
Probably. Yeah.
That was your theory.
Maybe Cuban told him after you told Cuban.
It was a bargaining chip. He said, you know, okay, you know, it's off the table now. You know, 2 years from now, you put that back in. And if you do, then the players get something. So that's something down the road that both sides can use. You know, if you want that 18-game schedule, you're going to have to give us something that we left off this time around. So, and that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. If the players really, I mean, if the owners really are convinced that 18 games is the way to go, they should be willing to give something up in order to get that. So we'll see. But that's 2 years down the road if everything works out right now. So I'm encouraged.
Me too.
We're going to actually have some.
I don't see how you can be anything but encouraged right now. I mean, they're talking. That's what we've been wanting this entire spring is stop telling us about who's wrong and why the other team, the other side is doing all the wrong things. Just sit down and talk and let's figure it out.
And they got the lawyers out of the room.
Right. Ethan writes in, I just replaced all three toilets in my house. I would go with the American Standard Champion 4. Best flush power on the market, and the EverClean surface is great.
I just love it.
That's interesting. The EverClean surface. I read about that. That you know, it things come off it easier. You know, that's
what
important.
Kind of things?
That is important in my house. I get yelled at a lot.
Well, don't you ever look after you?
Yeah.
Done?
No.
Oh, you just leave it for someone else.
Right.
You are really a scumbag.
You're a wretched human being.
That is terrible.
She always complains about the underside of the toilet
seat
being dirty.
Oh, my God.
You leave your feces for other people to clean up.
Oh, I have a wife. She
leaves
No.
You can't say that, as Bob LaBelle would say.
When was the last time she mowed the lawn and weed whacked? Never. We have our roles. We fill them.
Yeah, but I don't think she expects you to pick up her bodily fluids and things like that. You know,
girls don't poop.
So you know what? Next time I see her, I'm going to ask her to go poop on your lawn so that before you mow, you have to pick it up.
You once told me that you messed your
pants,
your underpants once.
Undergarments?
And left
once?
And filled up the sink with water and threw them in there and left them for Deirdre to clean up.
Yeah, because she yells at me if I don't.
Oh, my God.
Can you believe that?
Get them clean.
Can you believe that?
How about just going downstairs and putting
like
them in the laundry?
He's like, well, what else would you do? You would do it yourself.
If I just threw them in the hamper, she would yell at me.
Well,
when she took them out.
Don't you have
do
a
it
laundry
yourself.
Machine? Don't you have a washing? Go wash them.
I don't do much laundry.
Oh my God! You already heard him. He let off with the money line.
If you didn't think he was a Neanderthal before this discussion, now you know.
I don't do toilets.
And if you don't know, now you know.
No, you break them. So it doesn't stick at all. Like it just. How does it stay clean?
Well, the flushing takes care of it, and it rinses right off because it's this type of material that is. Not sticky.
You should get one of those then.
I would like to, but it's probably more money.
Apparently, the backside of Andy's seat needs to have that material on there.
The underside. Yeah.
I'm surprised you don't like just spray the walls when you go, because you're out of control.
I'm sitting on the toilet. It keeps it contained. Yeah. It's good.
A long time ago, we used to have two Siamese cats, and one of them,
as opposed to
Siamese twin cats.
We called them Pudge and Boomer after.
Carlton Fisk
and George.
That's right. But Boomer had this problem where he would go into
he boomed.
He would go, yes, and it would be like literally all over the wall.
So it was the aptly named
He'd
Boomer.
He'd like go in there and explode.
He had a digestive problem.
I guess so.
I feel for him.
Let's see. Kevin writes in, somebody had a fan question on Facebook. This is from John. He said, been listening to the show from the UK for just over a year, but only just got around to joining the Facebook fan page following Tuesday's show. I can't remember if anyone has brought the following subject up on the show or on this board in relation to the lockout. As we all know, the players cannot talk with the coaches, management, or any part of the franchise in an official capacity. Hypothetically speaking, is there anything technically stopping the Patriots from sacking? We talked about this before, from firing Bill Belichick and any number of coaches, or them quitting, so that they are no longer officially part of the organization. Then they'd be free to organize workouts and so on and so forth, and then you obviously hire them back afterwards.
Right.
Yeah, I think that would you could see through that pretty. That would be not good.
Right.
And but, somebody else talked about that earlier.
Well, there was also a report on Florio, that old friend Josh McDaniels, brother Ben, was working with Sam Bradford because he doesn't work for the Rams, but that they might later hire him to work with the Rams.
Oh, they didn't hire him?
I don't know. I know Florio, there was speculation. No,
I thought that was part
so.
Of the deal.
I don't think so.
I thought he did get
hired. Because Florio was speculating that they were kind
of... Maybe it was one of those deals that they have hired him, but they didn't officially file the paperwork for that reason.
Yeah. Oh,
That's scumbaggy.
Oh, I thought you were calling him a scumbag.
No, I mean, that's...
Yes.
That's just poor to me.
Especially, I mean, all these reports, Mike Freeman and CB, that everybody's talking to everybody and you know, coaches are overseeing workouts.
And listen, I know that. And I'm not expecting these guys to all be adhering to every single...
On the up and up?
Yeah. I know that there's contact with all 32 teams, and I have no problem with that. But, I mean, there's a difference between, you know, maybe a text here or there or whatever manner in which you're trying to communicate, some kind of go-between, a conduit or whatever, as opposed to we're flat out... We're holding practices here under the watchful eye of a coach.
Right. But I think
that's just so blatant.
I think that circumventing of the rules that Paul's talking about is probably one of the factors that are making the owners say, you know, let's just end this thing.
Well,
it's going to escalate. You know, one team's going to do it. You're not going to tell them because you're doing it too. But then the next team does it a little bit more. Now you feel you have to, you know, and it becomes an arms race of communication, and it just gets ridiculous.
But wouldn't you get mad if you were a coach and you're not allowed to coach your players, even though come September you're going to be expected for them to perform?
That's right.
And yet you flick on the NFL Network at night,
right,
and there's players
talking
to Rich Eisen. So the league can do its job and make its money and go about its business, but you won't let me do my business, yet I'm going to be held accountable come September.
That's a good point. I would get pissy, and that's why I would do it.
And you know it's wrong. That's why I do it.
And you know, listen, the whole notion, everybody right now is saying...
You ain't trying, right?
That's right.
Because Andy said, cheating is bad to you, but it's not to me.
It's not necessarily a bad thing to
Is that fair? I mean,
no,
literally,
it's not fair. I agree
the NFL
you.
Network, which is the network of the NFL, can do their job, can bring players on, have all these entertaining segments, do shows... And yet you, who are the product, the foundation, and let's be honest, assistant coaches are pretty close to the foundation.
Right.
They're the ones dealing with this crap day to day. They're not allowed to do their job. But you know what? If their position sucks next season, they'll lose their job.
Right.
That's not fair.
Well, especially one that has a young
core.
That's
the part of it that I really
agree
with. Because you've heard a lot of this stuff that, you know, people are analyzing, saying, well, it's going to be tough for these new coaching staffs and – you know, this team's going to be behind the eight ball. That team's going to be behind the eight ball because they're not going to have the preparation. Well, you don't think that's going to factor into any kind of analysis, say, the middle of October.
Right.
For the team that starts off 1-6. They're not going to be saying, let's not judge them too harshly because they didn't have any training camp. That's not going to happen because, listen, some teams are going to win and some teams are going to lose.
Right.
And then the knee jerk.
That's more Paul Perillo wisdom.
No, right there. The knee jerk reaction.
I know what you mean, Paul.
The knee jerk. Well, exactly. Like he couldn't figure out why the Bruins needed to score to win.
Eric, the teams that score more, the last two games,
the last two games did nothing to
the teams
to
that have more
that.
Wins are the better teams.
But my point is the teams that lose, it's people are going to immediately point the finger and say, well, they didn't have a training camp and they're 6-1.
Yep. People will lose jobs that shouldn't, that may not have.
And some of these new coaches are going to have disastrous seasons, and it's not – that's going to be
– Yeah.
Listen, they may say right now it's extenuating circumstances. I don't think they're going to be evaluated that way.
Right.
Not for very long anyway.
Now, we should get Football Outsiders to come up with some stats to see what would have happened if these coaches had
because they know
had a lockout.
Because they know Ben Jarvis Greenellis would have had 46 extra yards or whatever.
How many of these coaches
defenses?
Are underrated because of the lockout?
I actually did some research on that. I thought it was going to have 48 extra yards. So I think
it's flawed.
They're completely
your
off.
They're
off-based.
Paul in London says just a few things in to check in with my favorite radio show. And he spells favorite with the O-U, the proper way, Eric.
Yes, the British way.
Right. I'm finally coming out to the States to see the Pats play. I'm spending my 21st birthday in the U.S. for 10 days, 5 days in New York, where I get to be abused by Jets fans as I watch the Pats walk out with the win, and then coming up to Boston to see the Chiefs Monday night football game before flying home from Logan.
That's a good little trip.
That's a great trip. Two, pro football focus in Brady was great because of everything around him. Am I missing something? Because they have said Welker drops a lot and Branch isn't great. And they also ranked the pass protection in the bottom half of the league. So basically, Green Ellis and the tight ends are heading for Canton. That's a great point. If you're going to say Brady was only 33 because he had great players around him, but then in another article you say that Welker led the league in drops, which he did.
Well,
according to their criteria for a drop. Well, and the other ones.
Yeah.
He was the Elias right. or the Stats yeah. Inc. one, too.
Right. And you know, that Branch is not what he used to be. So where is this greatness that surrounds Tom Brady?
Well, G-force.
The other part of that is they downgraded him because he made throws that were anybody would
right.
have expected
right.
to
right.
make.
They were the right throw.
Because
he threw it to the open guy.
Because he is smarter than everybody
right.
else and finds a guy who's open and doesn't require a perfect throw as often as other people do. You get downgraded for that.
Ay, ay, ay.
These are your people, though. You like stats, Fred.
I do like stats, but I also like smart stats. I like there has to be logic and brains behind the research.
So you don't think there is at Pro Football Focus?
And I think that's why, like you said, that's what makes football so cool, is that it's partly stats, but it's mostly an understanding of all that goes on. You know, it's not just the running back; it's the blockers. It's everything else.
The play call. The fear of the pass. The whole dynamic.
It all works together. Metab in the UK writes in.
Eric, fix that.
M-E-H-T-A-A-B.
Metab. Yeah.
So I'm right.
Yeah.
Where in the... That's an English name?
No. It
doesn't have to be.
Huh. Where'd you say it was?
He's from the UK. Okay. There's different people. They're not all English that live in the UK.
Sounds like
a jingoist.
Yeah.
Middle Eastern.
Jingoist. Good.
What is that?
Good. Jingoism is extreme patriotism.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, I'm a jingo then.
Xenophobia is fear or hatred of foreigners.
Right.
So I think Andy would be probably a little bit of both.
I'm more a jingo than a Xeno.
Let's see. The idea of the pregame show sounds great.
Guy in Mexico called me a gringo when I was
trying to barter with him or whatever you call it.
My Spanish teacher
Spanish teacher always called us gringos.
Gringo con grande cabeza.
On Tuesday, we talked about the pregame social that we're going to start.
That's mildly
a little
offensive.
Late.
a little late. But
The idea of the pregame show sounds great. However, will the show be available as a podcast afterwards?
Sure.
Like all the other PFW shows? Please say yes. I'm asking because listening live is not the easiest option for us overseas fans, so podcast would be helpful. And just a note on Jake Steele, the Cadillac crime fighter. Why don't you, Fred? Oh, you guys weren't here.
Oh,
Tuesday.
You missed this
I
one.
Saw on Facebook there are pictures.
We updated
it's a photo album. Yeah. I just want to know where the muscles came from.
Well, because when you become a superhero, they just magically appear.
Thank you, Eric. Why don't you, Fred,
that's
wear a mask?
That's true magic.
Wear a mask like Rorschach does in Watchmen. Also, if you need a weapon, how about a detachable unit for your hip?
Detachable penis.
That you can sling like a boomerang at them pesky politicians. Anyway, looking forward to the next edition of the paper. Keep up the great work.
It's been brought to my attention that Jake Steele may, in fact, be a true porn star.
Yeah. Now, is that a current one or like one from years ago? Or
I don't know. Strippers,
back
help us out.
Porn was porn.
Oh, strippers, thanks for lunch today, by the way.
Yes, strippers. I enjoyed every bit of it.
Did you hear the line?
back when porn was porn.
Yeah.
And he knows. He used to dabble.
Did you in college?
I was in a few videos.
Were you really?
Yeah.
It's one of those things like pornography. You know it when you see it or hear it.
And Fred knows it when he's in it. Yeah. I was expecting you to give us an Anthony Weiner type denial.
A couple underground productions.
Now gay or?
Huh?
Gay. Well, they say for men all the money is in gay porn. You can't make any money.
Were there animals involved? No?
Well, she was okay looking. I wouldn't say, you know.
She was a cow.
Strippers, look that up and let us know who Jake Steele is.
And thanks for
And I can't believe you didn't bring this to our attention. I mean, that's your industry.
I know. Tim in Fresno, home of James Sanders, says go with the elongated bowl. That is known as balls in. The round bowl is known as balls out. The one
T-
talking about their testicles, Eric.
Thanks.
The one piece units are nice, and the two flush is also good.
One piece unit.
Oh, piece.
Not politically correct unit.
Right, I was going to say.
They didn't have a period.
Why is your unit not PC?
Oh, God. Yeah.
So
I think you should get the double flush, though. I think that's a good idea. If you just pee,
well,
you can do the
little flush.
Well, it's
good for saving water.
Yeah.
Because when I was reading when they first came out with those water saving ones, they weren't very good, in like 1.6 gallons per flush, and it really wasn't doing the job. But nowadays you get those water saving; they're much better.
Because you have septic or town water,
so septic.
They work the bugs out of the water saving ones. Now they're better.
Yeah, they flush better and they do the job. Because you got to do the job.
Yeah, I mean,
well, that's
if it's worth doing, it's worth doing.
And
right.
Plus,
right?
As Bill Belichick, if you flush twice, right. Now you've doubled your water. There's no point.
But as Bill Belichick says, if you have one job, do it well. And
right.
There's one job.
Or he says, I like my toilets to do thing. Do two things. Catch the stuff and flush it.
Alan,
catch and release.
Yes.
Alan from Facebook wants me to ask Big Head if he still thinks the Canucks will sweep the series.
You did
say that.
No, I never said
yes,
that.
Yes, you did.
Oh, here we go.
What did I say?
You said the Canucks will sweep the series.
Why did I say that?
It doesn't matter why. That's what you said.
I said based on their...
You have to base it on something. You
yeah.
were wrong.
And you
just admit
it.
You were
SAT-like
wrong.
The SAT-like
No, because he went 7-6-5-4.
Algorithm.
Right.
Is that considered an algorithm?
I don't know. I just felt like throwing that out there.
Sounds like a word that, you know, Fred would throw around with his PDC geek friends, and they would say, ooh, good Fred.
Another person on Facebook says, enjoying the Fred and
ooh,
Paul show
Fred.
On Tuesday. It was very entertaining. Why did it take me so long to find this Facebook page? Keep up the great work. Well, we haven't had it up that long, right?
Not since your porn days.
Good, Paul.
Sometimes
it's,
it goes in moist.
Fred, once you mentioned it the other day, we had like 150 ads that night. It was amazing.
Ads?
Yeah, like more people joining.
Oh, additional people.
Yeah.
They're not posting ads on our site.
No. In order
were they
for them,
PC?
In order for them to join the group, I have to like approve them. That's
oh, it's a group. It's not a fan page.
Well, I mean, they can post on
so
it.
So it's a power trip page. Thing for you.
No, that's good.
No, but I mean, like, so you can kind of...
I don't know what's going on.
No, just in case somebody, like, misbehaves, you can get rid of them. That's what it's
so how many do we have in this, whatever it is?
Approaching 700, I believe.
I have more followers than that. That's Jumbo Heart, at Jumbo Heart.
No, but for it to jump as high as it did after Fred mentioned it on Tuesday was...
Well, that's my point, though. We have a ton of... We know how many people listen. That's not a lot of the people that listen. We need to get all of them.
That's only 1% of the people who listen.
They should be following us on Twitter. And
I want to get 10,000 followers today.
Seriously.
Okay.
So then I can say, Brian Hoyer, you have 1,000. I have 10,000.
Alex,
my arm is stronger.
You'll make him cry.
Alex from Philly.
wow,
first, I want to
nice.
Say that I enjoyed the PFW version of 2.5 Men, Fred, Paul, and Kevin, on Tuesday. Also, I didn't realize before how much Andy and Eric talked during the show. It seemed like to me that on Tuesday you read a lot more emails and took a lot more calls than before. Anyway, I wanted to ask
you'll hear
you,
it
Fred,
again next Tuesday.
I wanted to ask you, Fred, have you thought about a logo and nickname for Jake Steele? You know, like how Batman has the symbol of the bat and his nickname is the Dark Knight. I figured I'm the Cadillac crime fighter. Right?
Yeah, that's that.
I figure that would be helpful since you're going to be patrolling the rough and tough streets of upper class corrupt politicians. Okay, keep up the good work, guys. And I just want to say that if it wasn't for you, I would sue the NFL for emotional distress. Awesome. We're saving the league money.
I thought he was going to say because of us, he's going to sue the league for emotional distress.
Saving the league money in more ways than one.
I think we should put that in our reviews, that we're saving the league millions of potential dollars.
Can you put that in our reviews since you never asked us this year?
You're responsible for the reviews.
Did I review you guys this year?
Yes.
I can't remember. I black out during that time of the year.
Did you see... this is obviously a public issue because it was tweeted by Real Patriots. Pepper Johnson was one of the employees recognized for 10 years of service. He got all decked out. He had a suit on. Fred goes up in his Zig-Tex and doesn't even use the stairs, just jumps up on stage.
Well, I wanted to save time. It was going long.
What did you...
Well, he had just gotten back from a long night of crime fighting.
I got my 15. Well, yesterday the Crafts do an annual breakfast, and they have service awards. And if you're 5, 10, 15 or more, they recognize you. And I got recognized for 15. Actually, I've been here longer than that. But the
16.
Way HR...
Jonathan seemed to agree with you, and on a lot of people was questioning what the...
Right.
How do we count these? Because he's been here way longer than this, he kept saying.
Well, consider that last year I was recognized for 10 years.
No.
I'm not kidding.
That's right.
No, that's different.
That's a cheap shot.
That's different.
You were in the 10-year group.
I'm Marshawn.
You had passed 10 years.
I love Marshawn.
But I thought it was funny that Pepper was all dressed up. He had like a...
Good for him.
Didn't have a tie on, but had a suit jacket.
Yeah.
Looks good. Yep. Other people did not. You know, a lot of people had shorts on. Because it was 98 degrees.
You notice that each person that had shorts, he kept saying nice legs.
Nice legs, yes. And for our upcoming feature in Patriots Football Weekly...
Yes.
Nancy Meyer.
Oh, yes.
35 years.
35 years. With the same team, which is amazing considering all the turnover they've had in the front office. You know, let alone ownership.
All the front offices.
All the front offices.
All the lower offices.
Yeah.
Pretty much everything.
So she's been, she handles
all the... She's going to be, I think, a very good story.
Yeah. Oh, when all the players come in, she handles getting them housing and show them the, you know...
But she's become much more than that. She's
she's
the go-to person
for,
combine. Everybody
at
the who goes to the combine.
Yep.
All the other teams, they
Gil
all go
Brandt
through her.
Gil Brandt is like out front, I'm the face of the combine.
Right.
She makes it happen.
She's the behind
she's
the scenes
real
person.
One.
Right.
She doesn't go up to the stage with Cam Newton and say, oh, my newest son.
And, you know, she's one of those behind the scenes
players.
And
a Tony Soprano sweatsuit.
She's one of those behind the scenes people
coach,
that
sweetie.
You don't find out about. Eric's, you, are you doing that story?
I should say hello.
Probably a team effort.
Yeah, we're all collecting... We're talking to people.
So you're gonna
other people raving about it.
Okay.
What?
Nothing.
What?
I stopped myself.
Say it.
I was gonna say you're all gonna do an antsy.
Oh.
What? But, you know, I meant it.
So
as
you
the
stopped
story,
yourself.
But
thank
I stopped
God.
Myself.
Thank God you stopped yourself.
I was gonna say,
Andy Hartlike.
Ridiculous.
Mike in Pensacola.
Can we get the Cuban story now?
What Cuban story?
Your
the fact
Cuban
that
story.
You could have worked for Cuban.
Have you ever
and
had
been
a
billionaire.
Cuban sandwich? They're very good.
No. I've never had
it's
a
very
Cuban.
Refreshing.
Oh, wait, is that with the pickle and the squished?
It's like an Italian, but it's a Cuban.
How is it different?
No, I thought it was like...
The type of meats are a little bit different.
Isn't it like ham or pulled pork and then with a pickle and
no,
it's squished?
No, there's no pulled pork in a Cuban. No pulled pork.
But it's pork.
Some I don't know if there's pork at all in a Cuban.
They have them on the plates, don't
they? There might be.
And there's always a pickle down the middle.
Here come the emails.
That's right.
Seriously, isn't it panini
pressed? Can someone tell us what a Cuban consists of? And it's a Cuban sandwich.
And there's always a pickle. I think there has to be a pickle for
you
to be a Cuban.
You guys are a bunch of morons.
Bleeping morons.
Mike in Pennsylvania.
Wait, you didn't give us your story.
What?
The Cuban. We want the Cuban
Mark
story.
Mark Cuban.
All right. Do I really? I don't think people are
it's
interested.
Timely.
Of course they're
he's
interested.
He's in the NBA Finals. He owns the Dallas Mavericks. They could win. They could beat this great LeBron James.
Look, I'll tell you the story, all right?
Okay.
The reason why these guys are bringing it up is because as each person was brought up yesterday to get their recognition award, Jonathan would say a few things about what they do with this, you know, and where if he had an incident where he when he met them, any type of anecdote
an
or
incident,
you know.
But it seemed like incidents to me. But
well, so Jonathan was talking about back when the internet was still in the well,
in its
before Wide Web
before
was in
Al
its
Gore invented it.
Yeah, he. You know, this is the part he left out. He called me like at 11:30 one night. He was on the treadmill. He says, I want to have video and audio on our website. And it was his idea. And he's like, find out how to do it. So, okay. So
he's like Andy Hart. He's
yeah,
an idea man.
Right. So,
but he has underlings that actually make the ideas happen.
So I
need underlings.
So now,
Eric,
you're having
you,
a trouble with underwear.
More.
Stop.
So now
stop.
It was my job to find out how do I get audio and video on a website. This is back in 96.
I would have called the porn
and
industry.
I ran across this one company called AudioNet. He called it Broadcast.com, but that was a later name. The original name was AudioNet out of Dallas. And, you know, they were putting audio on websites. So I call up, guy answers the phone, Mark Cuban. And so I started working with him and his company to get audio, and they had never done video before. So actually then I had to find somebody that knew how to, you know, was – knew the logic or the, I don't know, the technology behind video on the web, found this company called T-Visions, which had Trent Adams. And basically, Trent Adams was the guy that knew how to, or had the idea of how to do video.
But not the time.
Right. So we
inside
so
joke.
I brought in Trent, and together we work with Cuban's company to get video on our website. And you know, so as we worked together, Cuban was like, you know, you guys should invest in us. And so I brought this company AudioNet to Jonathan, and he's like, you know, we'll pass.
Couple billion later.
That might be a story you leave off the air.
Well, we also brought Google to Jonathan back when it started.
He passed on that, too.
Did you meet Sergey and...
I never met them, no.
Who's the other guy?
Bubka?
Yeah.
Sergey Brin and...
Yeah.
So literally, had he invested in both of those, he would have...
He'd be a
the
billion.
Craft.
Oh, wait, he is a billion. Wait.
No, but I mean, they would be like... they'd be... up by the Mexican guy and Bill Gates. They'd be up in the tens of billions.
Trust me, they'd get it right anyway.
You might be a billionaire right now.
You need to see I had no
money to invest.
Oh, why you not? Would have invested something, wouldn't you?
No, I wouldn't have.
No?
No, I have no money.
I agree. It was just a white screen. Why would I invest in that?
Google.
Took off. Who knew?
But anyway, a Cuban is ham, roasted pork, Swiss cheese, pickles, mustard, and sometimes salami.
So there was pork on it. Okay. I've never had one with salami. I've always just had the pork products.
Yeah, they are very good.
Yeah, they're very greasy. It's like a super grilled cheese.
Sounds like something I would like.
Yeah. The one on the plane isn't bad that they offer. You'll never get another chance to have one, Paul, but...
I don't know if I've had one on the plane.
It's not bad. It really isn't. It's in tin foil, so it's like super moist and all kind of contained and...
All kind of contained.
So they go in moist cheesecake. And they come out kind of hard?
No, they come out moist because you don't want them hard. You want a soft Cuban, not a hard Cuban. I know how you like your salary caps, Eric. Cheesecake Factory, I know you frequent that a lot, has a pretty good Cuban, if I remember correctly.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind.
Not the guy washing dishes the sandwich.
Not Ricky Ricardo.
Oh, my God.
You have been so over-the-top inappropriate on this show today.
Really? I think you might have set a record.
I don't think so.
This is as un-PC as you've ever been in your life.
For the rest of the summer, he's going to come in once a week and just, like...
Empty the bag.
Just blow up the show. Right. TG and NJ says, typical off-season PFW, straight to the toilet.
Right.
Despite the good news that there may be no regular season games lost... Do you guys still expect to see a lower fan turnout once the stadiums open this year?
No.
Oh, all stadiums or our stadiums?
Well, NFL.
In general?
Yeah, will turnout be less?
No,
this
I don't
year?
Think so.
I don't either.
If they don't miss games, then I don't think you're going to see a smaller turnout. If they miss games, I think you have a chance.
There might be.
But so, and you know what's going to happen? They'll come up with the deal in July, mid-July, and they'll spin it as,
we're not
you know,
missing
we did
much
this great deal for the good of the game, and all you fans should be happy at the players and the owners. And they'll spin it as this is great for everyone.
And from a fan perspective, they lost nothing.
Right. And it's a good thing we went through this process.
And Goodell is already spinning it. Right. I believe the Bucks. He did one of his conference calls that it was for the fans because you're going to pay if not because
we'll
have a bad
see.
Deal.
Yeah.
Well, that's the problem. Yeah. He kind of made a promise.
Yeah.
Basically saying increases that are costing you aren't going to go up as high in the near future if we get a good deal with the players.
Well, if that's true, that's good. But
if it's true,
I happen to think, I hate to argue with the commissioner, that
I don't.
We don't.
That ticket prices weren't going to go up that much anyway just because of the economy.
Right. Well, you have
and the competition at home.
And teams that are talking about doing the Jaguars thing and covering seats.
Yeah.
There's the potential for more of that this year, teams lowering their capacity.
Oh, but that also begs that also gives validity to the owners needing to do this. So you can spin it either way.
Needing to do what?
To do this new deal because of all those factors that we just mentioned. The economy and the competition at home and having to cover up seats and all that stuff. The owners realize, that's the argument they're going to make.
But not, I don't necessarily buy it because the salary cap is already based on revenue. So if revenues go down, player share goes down as well. If we were making $9 billion and this year we only bring in $8 because no one's coming to games and blah, blah, blah. Right. The cap goes down. Everything goes down. Right. Everything's a percentage of the revenue.
And then, again, the trickle down, like we talked about, then it comes down to owner versus owner. Well, going down for Jerry Jones doesn't affect him as much as going down for Wayne Weaver.
Right.
And that's where the small market teams need something the most. They need a new deal the most.
Yeah. But it'll be interesting. I wonder if the covering of seats and the fear of not selling out is strictly based on it happened more last year.
Yep.
Because of the economy, or if there is also a look ahead that post-lockout there could be some lingering issues with fans and less interest or whatever.
Yeah, I think that they were looking at that regardless of lockout.
I think so, too. I think that's economy-based. They realize there's not going to be as many people to buy the season tickets that have the money to just blow on that.
Oh, a new Transformers coming out.
Hope it's better than the last craptacular one.
I thought the last effects were amazing.
They get too wrapped up in the effects.
Well, that's what it's all about. What are you going for the story?
It's
Transformers.
But it's funny. I like the yellow one that jokes around with the kid. You got to have a little humor.
A little levity.
Yeah. They had last time, actually, the two were funny. Remember they had.
I didn't see the second one.
They had two little cars or something that were like Hispanic and they were funny. And you got to have some of that. You can't just blow stuff up. I know. Isn't that the guy who that's like
Michael
his
Bay.
MO? Mm-hmm. Yeah. He just blows stuff up.
And it's good.
That's kind of cool. But you have to have something to go with it.
No Megan Fox in this one.
No, ooh, another
there's a
hottie.
One. There's a new one.
That's down.
She's highly overrated.
Oh, please.
Highly overrated.
Okay.
Toe thumbs.
508-298-0398.
You'd kick her out of bed for that?
Is the
no, you wouldn't. Thank you. No further questions.
I wouldn't kick her out of bed, but I don't find her overly attractive.
Oh, God. Brad, in scorching hot
Maryland. She
also
doesn't have big boobs.
Hey, Brad, how you doing?
Hey, guys, pretty good.
Do you have big boobs?
Everybody in Fishbait doing today?
Fishbait's doing all right.
All right.
Yep. Eric, we call him Chum.
Eric, you know you're a part of the team. It's okay.
We call him Chaz, actually.
No, we don't.
No, we don't. See, I was nice, Eric. I didn't say that.
Thanks.
All right.
Thanks, Brad.
I love it, guys. When Fred is saying that he doesn't think people are interested, we are in day what of a lockout that you guys have talked about every conversation possible under the sun, and Fred's worried about turning somebody off on a talk about his life with Mark Cuban.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
we can talk about toilets, but you can't tell us about your Mark Cuban story. I'm just very humble. I don't think people want to know about me.
If he had an ego, that would bother him.
You have a lot of things. Humble ain't one of them.
That was great talk, Fred. I mean, that was awesome.
And it's timely. He's in the NBA Finals.
Exactly. It was not like we're talking about
Eric Flame. Well, I left out the part of Jonathan saying that Cuban said he wanted to hire me. Which, that part, that's the first I've heard of that, and I'm going right to HR.
Fred wished he had heard that 15 years ago.
I'm only kidding.
He's going to call up Mark Cuban now and say, hey, I accept.
I'm very happy.
Who the bleep is this?
So
I needed some time to think it over. You
know. So besides sweltering under this heat wave, do we have any projections as to
when you're going to finish this question?
How you think Belichick is going to, if we wait until July like you guys were just talking about, how is Belichick going to be able to work these new guys in quick enough to make an impact?
How many does he have to work in?
I'm guessing three.
Okay, who?
He's got to work in Solder, Rozai Dalling, and one of the two running backs. Well, into a regular scheme.
I think for those guys, I think he said it before in one of his phone conversations with some of the other writers that those guys are going to have to just be taught the basics. And
yeah, he said
it's going to be tougher for them.
He was going to have to scale back on scheme and all that. But see, I think Dowling and one of the running backs, yeah, they're going to have to play, but they're
probably
rotational
both of the
guys.
Running backs.
They're yeah. but rotational.
Right.
Solder,
I agree.
I think, is going to have to start. And the onus is going to be on Dante Scarnecchia and Nate Solder.
If Matt Light doesn't re-sign, I think you're absolutely right.
But
I think Solder will have to play 100% of the snaps.
Do you look for them though? If this ends in July, and let's say Matt Light's one of the first people to go in free agency, does Belichick bring in a journeyman tackle at right tackle? Flip Vollmer to left tackle until he feels Solder's ready.
Well, he may also think that one of the guys that are here
it's
that he's
possible.
Had in the system.
You know,
don't forget Kazier's coming back.
Yep.
You have Lavoie.
Lavoie? Yeah, well,
Quinn Ojanaka is
another one of those guys doesn't know how to pronounce his own name.
Is a something. I forget what Ojanaka lies in. I believe he was non-tendered as
right.
A
so he's a free
right.
agent, I think,
but
right
he's
now.
Been here. So if right. you needed somebody who kind of knew the system, was an insurance policy,
yeah.
He would fill that bill. So, I don't know. I think they're going to plan on Solder. And I don't think it's – I mean, you see a lot of rookies start on the offensive line. Logan Mankin stepped right in and was fine. And I know that's saying a great guy
and
was able to do it, but they're expecting Solder to be great.
Let's not forget, part of it. Matt Light, a second-round pick, started as a rookie at left tackle.
Just not when he said he was going to start, because he said he was going to start.
Right. The first game he didn't start.
Okay, but I mean –
because he essentially told everyone he was going to start.
He had to come in the second quarter.
My other question for you guys to debate football-wise today is – which side of the ball does this hurt worse, not just for the Patriots, but overall? In other words, overall, is the offense going to be further behind, or is the defense going to be further behind?
I think overall you have to look at the makeup of each team.
Yeah.
It's different.
I think it's probably different, but I would say in general terms, offense, because I think it's more repetition-based.
Right. Yeah.
I think you can generalization, you can get by scaling back your schemes. Because you tackle the ball.
But
you can get a little bit less sophisticated. But offense kind of takes timing and execution.
True, but if you're a running-based team and just straight-ahead, smash-mouth football.
Who would that entail in today's NFL?
Yeah,
well, it used to be Pittsburgh, not anymore. Yeah.
If this had been the lockout with the Redskins of the 80s, Redskins would have gone 16-0 the next year.
Some people would argue that's the magic of Joe Gibbs. Strike, Joe Gibbs wins.
And Sum's name is Paul, right?
Right.
All right, Brad.
82 and 87.
All right. All right. Try to stay cool in scorching hot Maryland.
So that's the second Hall of Fame coach on the show, Paul, has said. Well, you can argue that he's terrible. He's overrated.
Maki from Ireland writes in.
Didn't put up much resistance against Belichick that day in 07, did he?
Hey, Chaz and the men of PFW. I was wondering if I shared the same birthday with Andy. I celebrated my 22nd birthday on May the 26th.
Yes, indeed.
And for my 22nd birthday, one of the presents I received from my girlfriend was a subscription to the PFW in Progress online paper.
Nice.
I'm already enjoying it thoroughly. Could you list your top five toughest ever players in the Patriots locker room during all your respective times working with the Pats? I'm not quite sure how you would define toughness, but someone Logan Mankins like. I found always is depicted as being tough, badass guy. Who else would be in that mold?
You mean like someone you wouldn't want to mess with?
Yeah, I guess so. Not as an interview, but
yeah, because
I know
tough,
who yours would be, Paul.
Tough on the field would be
different.
Like a Logan Mankins type, right. But just completely
opposite in the locker room
to deal
yeah.
with.
I know who yours would be.
Tough to deal with would be Dylan McGinnis.
Oh, you didn't even mention the one I thought
guys.
He was going to say.
Ted Washington.
Yeah, Ted Washington.
Those would be three guys right off the top of my head. Really, guys that you sort of take your time when you go over to have to talk to them because you're not really looking forward to initiating that conversation. You're doing it strictly because you have to do it.
Yeah, we used to have a guy on the team, Ferrick Collins.
Ferrick Collins,
who
was a nice guy, but tended to be tough to deal with.
Yeah,
especially the guys you didn't know like me at the time.
Yeah,
I mean, in some ways, Randy Moss was that way.
Yeah, well, yeah, he just...
Like, you never knew how to approach him or what to say to when you approached him because you never knew if he was going to be like, yeah, dog, come on over, let's talk.
I just
or
never remember
say,
him being mean
drop F-bombs
to anyone, you know? I never really remember him being mean to anybody.
Not
he
here,
was,
no.
He definitely a
not
guy
here.
Like that you was sort of, you would approach with trepidation.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't just say, well, Randy Moss is here, I'm going to go up and get an interview.
Right.
And I'm not really sure he made it clear that he was open to talk. But I don't really recall many, if any, times that... You know,
he wasn't
he
in
Ted
your face
Washington
and yelling,
you,
right?
Or
exactly.
Willie McGinnis, you know, forget about
right.
Dylan. Dylan was the worst for that. Dylan would, you know, tell you to go bleep yourself.
Plus, there was legitimate fear.
Oh, absolutely, like absolutely.
You know, it's one thing to joke about Teddy Bruschi could hit me or whatever. You actually feared Corey Dillon a little bit.
Yeah, Teddy.
He had those crazy eyes.
If we're going top five, Teddy would probably
Teddy
be
tough.
On that list. Teddy was tough at times. The thing that was about him that was so hard was there were times that he would be on the top five best list, too.
Right.
It just depended on the day.
Right. But you never feared him. Like, you just knew
no,
he could
I
be a pain in the ass that day and bust your balls a
I
little,
didn't
but.
Think of him the way I thought of Dylan or those other guys, McGinnis.
But in terms of toughness, like play on the field toughness.
That's different.
Yeah,
completely
that's a different
toughness.
And I'd start with offensive line. Yeah. I think those, you know, Mankins.
Yep.
I think, you know, as much as we might want to make fun of Matt Light, they get out there every week.
And
that's
know,
not easy.
You know, Dan Copen doesn't look the part, but man, he's got to be one tough sucker.
Right.
Because every, you know, a lot of times you say, oh, he's smaller. He's going to get dominated by so and so. And he never really does.
And then he's always out there. Except when they have major injuries.
Right.
For the most part, they're out there. Another guy, a couple tight ends I'd put in there is this year. Algie Crumpler, who I've seen a number of times have to grab things in his locker to pull himself up, and you're like, how does this guy play on? And then he goes out there and plays. And Kyle Brady was the same thing. The man couldn't walk.
Couldn't walk during
couldn't
the
walk,
week.
But
you know what?
He was out there
that's
playing.
Really, really, really good one, Kyle Brady.
But I actually think...
Guy wasn't here a long time. Very tough.
People
guy.
Like to make fun of guys or whatever. I think... More often than not, most of the players in the NFL, if you've been in for a while,
you're pretty tough.
You're pretty damn tough because you're hurt all the time.
And
right?
I know that some, speaking of the list that we started the show, some list has Tom Brady being this injury-prone guy. Tom Brady, what he has gone through, and we've seen him go through
grimace-inducing hits
during the week. Well, I'm even talking about during the week when you see him coming with these contraptions on his shoulder and
boots.
Ice everywhere, boots and stuff, and you know he's a constant. He's going to be out there.
Despite how he looks.
So one time he wasn't. It took a torn ACL and MCL to have him not be out there.
He may look like a fairy, but he's tough.
Very, very tough guy.
You're going to tell me he doesn't look like he's soft?
He's not a... he's not ready.
I don't know. Eric's pointing. He's shaking his head.
He knows what I'm going with.
Puss hand, all that.
No, he's not. He's about as far from that as you can get on the football field.
Absolutely. Very, very
now
tough.
Now going down water slides.
Very, very tough guy.
Jared and Swampscott, I'm a couple weeks behind on the podcast, so forgive me if you've already talked about this, But is there an RSS feed for just the PFW blog? The only one I could find on the new site is for general New England Patriots news, and from what I can tell, not all the PFW posts get pushed out there. I don't care about NFL.com content, only what you guys and Eric are writing. It would be nice.
Good.
It would be nice to have all the headlines in my Google Reader like it was with the old PFW online feed, even if I have to jump to Patriots.com for full posts. And a quick lockout question, is there any chance the owners get rid of Goodell after an agreement is reached?
I doubt it. So. Well, he just re-signed signed an extension not too long ago, right? About a year ago.
As far as the owners are concerned, they think he's doing a pretty good job.
Yeah, I would be very surprised.
I'd be surprised. But if things had deteriorated and they lost games.
Or if they do.
Or if they do, yeah.
Yeah, I still don't think that. I would be very surprised to find out there was discontent among the owners with regard to him.
I generally assume he's doing what they tell him to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I would be very surprised at that.
You can answer his first question.
Yeah, and as far as, PFW blog used to be separate from Patriots.com. Remember that before we launched? So there was a
couple
separate feed.
Right.
You could get a set. Now it's all one and the same. So if you get Patriots blog, you're getting all the other Patriots news, too, in your feed. You're just going to have to put up with it.
You have to eat more.
Yeah.
What does RSS mean?
Well,
recurrent something something.
No, some people say it's real simple syndication, and then there's other. No one really knows, but that was one of the original.
Who created it?
Real simple. Right, syndication.
Wouldn't the person who created it know what it means?
Yeah,
Ralph Sampson.
I need
says
an S, Paul
says
okay says
says go to patriots.com. They just put a new blog up.
John Dong
that would
from
be
Texas.
Actually funny. Ralph Sampson pops up on your computer.
This guy's name is John Dong from Texas.
John Dong.
John.
Everything's
what?
Bigger in Texas.
Oh.
Hey guys.
His father's a bigger dong though.
I just wanted to say I joined the Facebook group the other day and got kicked out early because I said Kevin was a screw up.
You kicked him out for that? You better not have.
I haven't kicked anybody out.
Oh, okay.
Obviously, Kevin is on a big power trip.
He
show
is.
Kevin
oh, yeah.
his true role in life and make him re-invite me to the group.
Did you really kick somebody out?
No. What's your name?
John Dong. You would remember a dong.
I've accepted everybody so far.
Ding dong.
So you didn't? Are you lying? You didn't kick anybody out?
No.
Because I trust John Dong.
Because Christy and I are both just accepting. Whoever sees it first.
Wait, Christy's involved in this too? Yeah, she might have kicked out a dong because she thought it was a fake name or something.
Maybe.
Christy
Berkery.
From PR?
Yeah.
Is the head of social media?
Ask Fred. Yeah.
What?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Have you seen Wiener's Wiener?
Yes. Anthony Wiener, have you seen it?
No.
It's out there now, you know.
Yeah, I have no interest in.
Oh, you don't like political wieners.
Right.
You're a jock sniffer. You only like athletic wieners.
He can actually have that term be literal. He's
right.
jock sniffer.
Right.
Greg Oden.
Yes.
Brandon Favre. Spikes.
Yes.
Brett Favre.
Yes.
Favre
Anthony Wiener.
Spikes, but never Oden. Never saw
You Oden. Said yes on the soundbite.
No, not for Oden.
So why haven't you seen Wieners?
I think it was Brett Favre. Brandon Spikes.
Now you have to play Andy's clip saying, you know, I have a little wiener. Kevin. He's not listening.
I was trying to look up to see what this guy's talking
with the Facebook.
About.
Get off of that thing.
In the case of Spikes and Favre.
Business related.
There was a question as to whether this was true or not. I have no doubt, Wiener. I mean, we all know now that it's true. So there was
Let's stop right there for a second.
Uh-oh. Paul's going to get serious.
This is going to be good.
Yep.
So there was a question as to whether it was real or not. You thought it necessary to actually inspect it to see if you can validate whether or not it was real.
That's correct.
To match it to what you had in your mind.
I'm fine with that.
Should know I got a little Wiener.
I had to see what was in question. And to make my own judgment,
because you
because obviously
a
you've
image.
Seen it somewhere else.
He's an
you've
expert on such things. Wieners.
Well, I know Brett Favre's junk.
In those cases,
you, my friend, don't have
in the
Brett
case
Favre's
of
junk.
Favre and Spikes. The actual person was involved in the video or pictures. You know,
well,
or
Anthony
so
Wiener is actually involved in his. Wiener.
No, I know, but he's already admitted it's him. So
well, now,
so I didn't need to validate that.
I don't need
85
to validate.
Interviews
That's
later.
Correct. That's correct. That's
you
correct.
Are.
I do my own research.
Unbelievable, my friend.
Greg from
I
the billing.
To validate.
Greg from the billing department. What's up, guys? Great game last night. The series will be over in six, and the Patriots will have.
Not really saying who's going to win the series.
No, I think he's right.
I think
if,
he's right.
If he thought last night was a great game, and he's saying it'll be over in six,
I know.
He thinks
I'm
the Bruins
teasing.
I know
what he
and
means.
I'm with Greg.
If you let me finish his email, it's obvious
Greg.
Who he thinks is going to win.
All right.
Uh-oh. The Patriots will have to step up this season because they can't be the Boston team furthest away from a championship season. Defense picked up the hitting, and the offense had their moments. Thomas is a monster. So I was thinking about it the other day while I was watching the Heat go down. The reason why I'm not a big basketball fan is because they're all
plays
and all that.
Well read, Fred.
They get touched or see a hand go by them. They flop and get the call, depending on how popular the player is. I think that these rule changes that the NFL are doing is the, if you will, pussification of the league.
Yep.
And it's go soon
and all
going,
that.
It's soon going to be guys flopping to get a call for pulling the flag. I just don't like any of it. As far as the pregame show ideas go, how about a prize every Sunday for some fans, maybe like some PFW shirts or jersey, something like that, and then a cumulative prize the end of the season for a fan or a few, maybe two tickets to a home game the following year with a chance to meet you guys, to those who have been listening and paying attention throughout the season. I don't know, just a random thought. All right, guys, have a great weekend, and I hope that you guys are talking about another championship come Tuesday.
Me too.
Yeah, we'll have to figure, you know, give some things away, definitely.
You still got a lot of those shirts, right?
Oh, we got shirts. Something maybe a little bit better than that.
Patriots United.
Oh, that would be really good.
It's a fine coffee table book.
Yeah.
It's a coffee table book that turns into a coffee table.
508-298-0398.
Another Seinfeld reference.
Let's go to Orlando in Springfield, who has some running back questions. Hey, Orlando.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Been a while.
Yeah.
From Springfield?
You all right out there?
Yeah, you okay?
Yeah, not too bad. I'm happy to say I finally got all the crap cleaned out of my underwear from dumping in it.
I don't blame you, my friend.
You didn't leave it in the sink.
You just left it in the sink
for
your
wife,
wife
to clean it up, like.
No,
Andy.
I had to clean that one up myself. Man.
Yeah, see, that's a real man on the phone.
No, it was under my nails and everything. It was tough.
I'm glad you're well.
Yeah, no, we. I mean, the first couple, it was bad here. It was first couple days, but I mean, I nothing for now. I got to give it to the the cops and the and fire department, man. I mean, and just the road crews around here, they literally like did a hell of a job, like cleaning it up, like. Literally, within the next day, the next, 2 days, you could drive down the streets, you know what I mean? And, you know, they did a really, really good job.
So did your house escape injury or damage, I mean?
Yeah, yes, we did. And I tell you, I was scared to death because literally where the, I know you guys seen the video where the tornado's over the water.
Yeah.
Yep. Goes over the 91 and into the downtown area. That downtown area is, our south end.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm literally, from where it hit and did the most damage down in the south end, I'm literally like 45-second drive up the street. So
wow.
It literally like passed right through the neighborhood, barely moved to my house by maybe about 3 or 4 blocks, and then just went right on up and tore everything else up to pieces.
Oh, my God.
Further up from us.
Yep.
And, fortunately, this lady out there who lives in West Springfield just before it came over. The house collapsed around her, jumped in a bathtub, I guess, with her daughter.
Yeah.
Covered her daughter up and died.
I heard about that. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, you hear stuff like that. You look at stuff like that and you think to yourself, my God, I can't believe more people weren't killed.
Yep.
And then you hear these little stories, well, this guy died, that guy, and you're just like, wow. Something like that happening here, people thought that was unfathomable. Like, oh, a tornado in Springfield? Never. And then when you see it actually happen, you're just like, wow. Nowhere safe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, we're doing good. We're doing okay. The city's doing fine. I mean, they've really done a great job of cleaning things up, and the cops really stepped up, big time.
Yep. That's good.
I never thought I'd say that either, but. But we're doing good, guys. We're doing good.
Good.
But, excellent.
So what's on your mind?
Yeah, just wanted to talk about the Patriot running backs that we drafted this year. I mean, which out of those guys that we drafted do you think is going to make the most immediate impact, like right away?
Vereen.
Probably Vereen. Yeah, I would say immediate Vereen, but I like them both. I loved Vereen.
Could be the tandem of the future.
And you never know, like if Green Ellis goes down with an injury, then maybe Ridley would have to step in and get more carries, so it's hard to say.
Theoretically,
if
Vereen is more pro-ready and could fill in that role as not only the third down back, but you got to be able to protect, and that's kind of the MO of Cal running backs.
All things being equal, probably Vereen, though.
Sweet. All right, guys. Thank you. I appreciate it, my friends.
All right,
care,
Orlando.
Guys.
Orlando is safe in Springfield. That's good.
Yep.
Brooklyn Matt says, hey, Eric, you're such the prince of pomposity. Who else goes on a freaking fishing trip and refuses to fish? Even I spent the first 13 summers of my life fishing all day long on Cape Cod next to Fred and Dennisport. You know what? I love that you didn't fish on Tuesday. I have this mental picture of you turning your nose up, folding your arms, and purposely looking away when they ask you to partake in their average Joe activity. Scalavino, you're the cat's meow. You rock the snooty factor. Don't change for anybody. He is. He's very snooty.
I explained why I turned it down.
Not so. Well.
It was the end of the day. They all wanted to leave, and I felt it was just, you know, I would have been invading their privacy.
They invited you.
You're on the boat with
them. I know, but it's still, there's a line between coaches and the rest of us.
You invaded his privacy when you got on the boat, so
right.
That ship had sailed.
I know, but
see what I did there? How about ship, being boat, more sailed. One of them? You know, like getting into it with them. And
Eric's,
you know,
not one of the guys. Sorry, Chaz.
Palmateri, tough guy, Italian actor, no from Mafia roles.
That wasn't
Ferreira,
one of the ones you were supposed
Chris
to
Ferreira
set him up
corrects
with, so I got
me.
Mad
no,
at
I did, yes.
Chris Ferreira corrects me on the PFW blog. He says there actually is a PFW blog, only RSS feed. It's located on our RSS page. The address is, and he gives it. I'm not going to read it out because no one has a pencil.
/, period,
but
slash.
But if you go to thepatriots.com, there
is a... He took
a
swan dive off the Mystic River Bridge 3 hours ago.
That wasn't too soft. No.
He says there is a PFW-only blog feed.
We should probably blog the link. That way people who want to subscribe to the RSS feed can get into it.
Isn't there a little symbol you click on? I thought there was like a little RSS.
Well, maybe,
symbol.
Kevin, you can take that link and
before
post it on the Facebook
link.
Page.
Yeah,
stick it with the sun don't shine.
So the so Facebook
Kevin's
page.
Kevin's going to be out of commission for the next 10 minutes.
Let's see. Joey says you don't need to read this on the air, so I won't.
No, you should if he says that.
That's usually what
That's
we do.
Usually what, yeah. Don't tell us what we read or don't read on the air.
Let's see. Well, he says, you don't need to read this on the air. Another great show, as usual. I use Skype often and love it. Would be great if you could work it into the show somehow.
That's what I said, but Fred didn't want to.
And he says, when porn was porn, it was all on 16mm film.
Okay. Yeah, no one got back to us on whether Jake Steele was actually a porn star or not.
Yeah, usually that info comes in.
Very disappointed. Now I think it's a fabrication.
Strippers? He bought us lunch.
He probably
went
to the
gym
or fell asleep. He's got a lot of things going on.
Now, why is porn not porn now, Fred?
Because Fred's not in it anymore.
Just
kidding. Well, okay.
I wouldn't know.
Fred I've never seen porn.
Fred doesn't need those.
You could make
things.
The you could make the case the production quality in the old days made it seem dirtier. You know, nowadays porn is almost mainstream. It really, I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, people openly say, "Oh, I watch porn." You know, where back in the day, you would never admit that. Right?
You'd go all Anthony Weiner on people? No.
I'm taking your word for it.
Yeah, I don't really. Nobody admitted it back then?
I don't think so. You know?
Wasn't the answer always, you know, you needed money in college or something? Isn't that what people
do? Well, that's if you're actually in it like Fred.
Tiffin, Wisconsin says, "Hey, guys, and Chaz, the log cabin Republican."
Listen, Tiff. If you want to come down to Foxborough, I'd be more than happy to prove to you how straight I am. All right?
Whoa!
Hey, woman.
How?
Why don't you come to my apartment tonight?
You sure you're still capable of doing that? I mean, you know, you said it's been 6 years, so.
What are you, a Vulcan?
When did we come up with the 6 years?
Vulcan.
He said 6 years.
Well, that's
when
what
did
Spock.
That
come? He was asking me the other day.
Spock made a mistake of throwing out 6 years.
What the hell were you thinking?
And you know how Andy works. That's just locked in here now. I don't know. Moment of weakness, I gave Andy what he was looking for.
I went 6 months once. I thought I was going to die. Anyway.
And that's without a Pepsi.
No, that's never true. Have you even gone a day without a Pepsi?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Without
what
a Pepsi?
Day?
Yeah, I don't drink Pepsi.
Diet Pepsi.
I don't drink it.
No. Sorry.
Right.
Yeah, he was trying to get by on a Kirsch Light.
I do not play the Kirsch Light game. Yes, I've...
Recently? Since I've known you?
Yeah, a lot of times on weekends.
Oh, really? Oh, because it's Miller Lite time.
Right.
No. Miller Heavy.
No. I mean, most days I have at least one glass of Diet Pepsi, yeah. I would say that. But, I mean, I've gone without it. I can't picture it.
I mean,
Brian
Low on us over there.
Because, like, every time we're with him, you have Pepsi. You know, on the
it's
bus, going to the
it's
game.
It's kind of like an little, on this show, it's more of like an OCD thing for me than, like, that I just need to keep refill. It's kind of, if it's there... I'm going to drink it.
It's a social thing, too. So, we always go and get a drink first thing in the morning.
So, right. Wait, you know? So if there was booze in that bottle instead of Pepsi, you'd just keep drinking it?
You don't drink beer like that?
No, I don't.
I do.
He drinks to get drunk.
Right.
Maybe. Yeah.
In case you didn't know.
Right. Not on the show, I wouldn't.
No.
I don't think
you. Wait, no, you just you drink, drunk, hard, you just you drink have, hard stuff on the show.
You have drunk alcohol on the show.
Yes, I stick to the hard stuff.
I didn't mean working. I mean, if you're out drinking,
he likes his liquor
stuff.
Like he likes his salary caps.
You know, like when we go out, like when we go out on Saturday nights. If there's another beer, if I just kept ordering beers and put them,
like
normally
San Diego.
You would, I mean,
if.
But you,
you were just describing a Saturday night.
But even if you had said, "Oh, I'm only going to have two tonight," if Fred ordered another beer and put it in front, you'd drink it.
Yeah, you'd drink
Eric
it.
And, if I ordered another beer and put it, you'd drink it.
I wouldn't. I'm good for half a glass.
Not to the point where you're going to end up getting yourself drunk.
Right.
But
we used to fight people who would waste beer. You know,
we being who?
Oh, yeah.
When you're growing up.
Him and his cool friends.
No, when you're growing up and someone throws a beer and you have that can, you could tell when it's empty and when it has a little in it. If you're a dumper, that's the worst thing you could be.
That's a waste of money.
It's like being a rat. Right? Being a rat.
We called them wounded soldiers. That's what we called them.
Can't be a dumper.
Right. You got to kill those soldiers, right?
Absolutely.
I remember one time everybody was in the middle of a conversation and someone threw one and it made that like heavy thud. And everybody just stopped talking.
Rocco, go get that.
And he picked it up and we gave it the tip. And all of a sudden it was like, a fourth of the beer came out. That kid was just crucified.
Would you go around to parties?
My friend Mark,
when you were younger and just find like
Mark from the book?
Half-filled beers from random people?
He was the one that threw the beer.
Paul does.
No, I didn't monitor that way.
Beer police. You could get another 2.5 beers out of that if you walk around.
I didn't monitor how everybody drank. It was obvious. Fred knows what I'm talking about.
Did you ever tape the 40-ounce bottles to your hands?
No, I never had a 40-ounce.
Those are good times.
I had this. I still have it. It's a vinyl wrap that looks like a can of Coke. So you wrap it around a can of beer, and it looks like you're drinking Coke. And then you take it off and you put it on the next. And I used to go to parties where parents were there. And I'd be drinking beer.
You know what's funny about that? Like you show like how PC, and things that you could do that you just could never get away with.
Yeah.
I remember specifically in Little League, I was like 9 or 10 years old. The coach had one of those. It was a 7-Up wrapper around a beer, and he walked over, and I saw him take the wrap off, drop the can, while he's coaching us.
Oh, wow!
And I'm looking, and he looks over, and he smiled at me, and me and my friend just started laughing. Like today, not only that guy could never coach,
he'd be on the news.
He would be arrested.
He would be,
that's
he would
a major
on the
6 story.
News. Yeah, absolutely. But back then, you didn't squeal on him.
Well, I said, the worst thing you could be in Everett was a rat.
Right.
A dumper was, that was better than being
a
rat.
It's like a Bronx Tale. Coach was over there going
nothing
like
worse,
this.
Nothing worse than being a rat.
Right. Let's see. Tiff also says she suggests bringing Pete Shepard on for the post-game show. I don't know if it's out of the question, but I would love to listen to Pete after the game. I am a homer, and homers of a feather flock together. I don't know what
Casey
we're
Casey Kasem.
We have to think about what
with
we're
another
do.
Long distance right. dedication.
We have to think about what we're going to do for after the game. We'll see.
That's up to you guys because we're going to be on the road. We're going to have security stuff. Being on the airplane, we're going to be out of the loop there.
Yeah, Sean writes in about the Cuban sandwich, bread, pork shoulder, ham, cheese, pickles, mustard. Mayonnaise sometimes.
Ham, cheese, pickles, mustard, pork.
I didn't know it had mustard on it.
Sometimes. I like
all
of that.
It's all things you like.
I like all of that.
It's yummy.
I don't think I've ever had one.
I've had a Cuban. When we played in
Mark.
Tampa. They serve Cubans. Remember Tampa?
It's a good press box.
Good press box fare.
Best press box fare. Tampa Bay.
So. That's what we're going to miss, Andy. Good press box fare.
I like traveling. I don't know about you guys, but I know you don't. I enjoy it.
It's because you look for excuses to be away from home.
No.
Some of us don't.
No, I just think
some of us actually like our families.
I think it's something. It's like not a lot of people get to do what we do. We're very fortunate.
So what does that mean?
And they want to do what we do because they appreciate it.
So that's why you like it?
Not because you like it, but because they like it.
That's my point.
You
what
really do
mean?
Fall into peer pressure all the time.
I think it's cool, and so do a lot of other people.
Oh, I do too.
I thought it was very cool, but
first 8 years.
I certainly would still be doing it if you wanted to do it that way. It's not like I demanded to stop.
No, of course not. We think that's
what we've been saying for 10 years. That would be great if you didn't have to
resign. We think it's a better.
But we still
use.
Have the games.
I'm kidding. Paul.
So we I think it's a better use of you two to do what we're going to do. Plus, I'm sick of hearing about it.
Speaking of this,
I actually, I liked once we were actually wherever we were, I didn't like necessarily being away, but I liked traveling too. Yeah. I loved the Saturday night. I liked the camaraderie, Freddie.
You like the Miller Lite on Saturday.
The conviviality.
You can call it camaraderie.
Right.
I don't know what I'm going to do now.
I enjoy
you and Eric. You're going to go to art galleries on Saturday night.
What is he going to do? He'll sit there nursing his one beer.
Right.
And then Freddie will be stuck. He'll have to go back. He's going to look like an alcoholic because he'll have seven bottles in front of him, and I won't have nine in front of me. He'll be dead.
Right. And you can't high class it because Jim Houseman retired, so you're out.
We'll have to have Patriots fans are going to have to come up big here. PFW fans are going to have to organize more of these road trips so that Fred will have large gatherings of people to drink
Fred
with.
Doesn't have
so
to be
that
with
he
Eric.
Doesn't have to be with
so
me.
Fred's
I want to have gatherings where
that
I can...
sounded to me like he's looking to get rid of you.
I want to have gatherings where I can show up and like put my hands up like the Pope, you know. Just... Hey!
You're a superhero now, though, so you're going to have to go a little incognito.
Plus, you have plenty of other guys. You know, you have the photographers will be out. You have Gloom. Gloom will be out.
You got B-Lo.
Yeah, B-Lo. I mean, you can go to Promontis.
He hits it hard when we go out.
You can sit at the bar with B-Lo.
Actually, B-Lo stays out later
he
than
hits
I
it
always,
very hard.
He always goes out. After wherever we go, he stays out.
I go out for a nice dinner, go back to the room. I'm not into, like, you know, nightclubs and all. I'm too old for that.
I'm way too old. You know.
So is B-Lo, but he still hits it hard.
That's a good point.
Although he's getting married. Maybe that'll change.
When is he getting married?
It could be tomorrow. This could be next week. I don't know. Maybe next year. I'm not
sure.
You
probably should do the Jewish voice there, too, because he's Jewish.
You're getting married. It could be next week.
Well,
they break the glass.
Phil,
pick up the chair.
Speaking of all your complacency
I think it's October, though.
When are we going to have the meeting about our show? Don't we need to get that going? Because if they do solve the lockout,
then
there's
going to be a lot
busy,
of other more important things.
And we're not
going to
have time.
Right.
We'll start doing some yearbook stuff, too.
Yeah.
So we can start. Can
speaking
we get
of complacency,
that yearbook
we need
thing.
To have a meeting
we
about
find
how
a way to get rid of that.
The pregame social is going to work.
We need to get sponsorship involved in that.
Sponsorship.
Isn't it going to be
first
sold?
You've heard of it?
Isn't it going to be sponsored?
Hopefully, but we just worry about the.
I'll give you $10 to make it the Indy Hart pregame social.
Fred's like, wait, I'm going to pay you.
Wait
to do this?
A minute!
If you go 20, it can be the Paul Perreault.
Fred's sponsorship pitches. You want to make $5 a hard way?
Nice you actually used that on when you were trolling Twitter for a job replacement, didn't you?
You want to work for me the hard way? Or
something? No, I didn't
I think you did.
I said if you want to work hard for me.
Oh, maybe my mind just read it a certain way.
You want to make $5 the hard way?
Did you get anything out of that?
No.
Get any tweets?
I did, but they were all out of the area. We need someone who actually comes here and works. You know,
preferably blonde.
Yeah, we can't do teleworkers. All right, well that's
Telemundo.
That's
why
be
some people in the organization do that.
PFW in progress. Thanks for
and
listening,
Sands,
everybody.
Bring her.
We're keeping the flame burning, and hopefully we won't have to do that much longer. We'll see. But anyway, we'll see you next Tuesday. See you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.